This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
If I press the right button, I make magic. I make microphones work, which I didn't do. Hi, everybody. It's 7 o'clock. It's Studio C. It's the show on Hume Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Marnie Ryer and Al Perkins. This week, it is just the three of us. Katie June, a little under the weather, and Kat Carlson had a previous engagement. But a little programming note for the remainder a good couple months now until the elections are over the first Tuesday in November, correct?
So after the first Monday.
After that first Monday, right. So I'm not sure what the date of the month is. Actually, I don't know.
I think it's November 4th is the election this year.
Okay. So anyway, Katie June, being how she is involved heavily in the political system here locally, she has got a lot on her plate, and she will be kind of out until after the election. So Kat Carlson has kindly joined us for starting next week, every Tuesday night, for the duration of Katie's busy time of the year. This only happens every couple of years with Katie, where she's this crazy busy. But it'll be all good. But for tonight, it's just the three of us. Hello to everybody in the chat room. Molly, Meow Cal's there. Tomo. Everybody's in the chat room. Chitty chatting. Marnie's girl is there. So many people. Meow Cal actually sent me a message earlier and said that because of some computer issues, he's there. Can't do the chat, but he's watching. So
He's
there.
Doing well, hello.
It's good to know with all of them. And then we're getting language lessons from Tomo. He's doing things in
Italian today.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I didn't know a fucking idea what it is. So buongiorno. I got that part. And then Tutti, is that Tuesday?
No, it means everybody.
Oh, everybody.
Everyone all together.
Didn't realize.
Just a little black girl.
Just on roller skates.
Yep.
And it's really a musical reference too.
Oh, well, good for music.
But I never remember how that fits into music. But it is a musical term.
Gotcha. Whew, well, there is that. That's exciting. We're all caught up.
Molly got in my fucking head. That's enough.
Good talk. Molly's on it. Very good. Oh, by the way, I also reached out because I've been chastised for not reaching out to Barbara Seville. And of course I did, and she's busy.
By the way.
Yeah, she chastised me last week for when I said that Kat was going to join us, and she's like, I never get asked.
Then
I asked her. Oh, I also reached out to Buddy Early. Works. Got a job. Sad.
Oh, still hasn't gotten rid of the job yet, huh?
Got to work on that.
I hate that he has that job.
So, I think at moments he does, too.
Although I haven't seen the hate posts about it in a while.
Right, that's true.
Maybe they're on to him, and he's decided to squelch that for the time being.
Maybe he's said talk nice about it. Oh, what is that? I feel like I've eaten it before.
It's a quinoa edamame feta salad.
From
Sprouts?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
I can smell it from here.
Do you like some?
No, but it's
lovely.
It is lovely.
I apologize. I just didn't know for it.
No, we're used to it. I mean, somebody had to have food in the studio for this time, and Katie's been out for a couple weeks, so we've kind of missed having the foodie.
I haven't had anything, so I'm like, I gotta have something. That's okay.
Oh, what was that? Gold stars all around. We've had old stars all around. Very good, Tomo. Mistypes are horrible.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and old. Let's face it.
And speaking of which, and that's fine, and I've got several emails. Thank you all for being there. You two, in fact, were just right with me at the table on Sunday evening when we celebrated on the day of my birthday on Sunday, which was really great to have everybody there in that big round table of diversity with all the people who... I leaned over to my mom and I'm like, look at all the people that are at this table and the diverse cross section of people. Everybody from a computer programmer, a makeup artist, a therapist.
A poor school teacher.
Yeah.
Okay, there is that. Yes.
Someone in need of counseling. I mean, a counselor.
A counselor, right.
So many different people.
It was fun.
Yes, it was a good time. And then going on, and I realize you couldn't attend with us, but we went to Stacey's and hung out for a while. We all talked about all kinds of stuff and hijacked the DJ and made him play everything we wanted, which was
that.
The best. Because I was like, well, how do I asked one of the bartenders, how do I text message the DJ and get it? He goes, well, here. He just ripped a piece of paper out of a notebook and said, write down your list. And
I love it.
He went through it pretty well.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah.
Even the things that people told me did not exist, he played.
He played them. He found them.
Because they're like, that's not a song. I'm like, yes, it is.
We'll make
and
it
then,
one.
And then for the... three. I'm three for three on these terrifying storms.
Yes, yes.
We decide to go for a light snack after Stacy's because we were all a bit peckish at 2 a.m. So we went to Denny's and Armageddon started whilst we were there.
While in Denny's,
it sure did.
Yeah.
Oh, it was bad, bad, bad. I have not seen it rain like that here. I've seen it rain like that in other places, but certainly not here. Ever. And it turns out it never happened. Never happened before.
I lived through the blizzard of 91 in Minnesota, and I thought, great, I'm going to drown in the desert. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Of all places.
Like, really? What's happening?
Of all places. Crazy. Yeah. So we went and ate, and then I called another Uber, and while this torrential downpour was happening, and she showed up, and literally I texted him, like, do not pull in the parking lot. Literally pull to the curb, and she whipped around, and we got in this little car.
Oh, yes. Basically a smart car.
Yeah. The four, like, well, she was driving, and then there were four of us, and we jumped in that car. And headed down 7th Street. And again, it's you're curb to curb, and the water's coming to basically the turn lane in the center. And we made it there. Then got to got back to where Al's car was. Right. And then Al dropped us off. Well, in my OCD world, raining like crazy. And I'm like, I have to go check the storm drains to make sure they're not clogged. I have to.
But Mr. Like, awesome. Don't take unnecessary chances, and people that drive through that shit are stupid. Just drive through it. I'm like, I don't think I just drive through it. I'm like, I don't think it's safe. Just drive through it. I want to go home. I'm like, you two motherfuckers are pushing the car, but I do not think this is safe. Just turn the corner. That's the part of the because he was tired
Happy
and drunk.
Yeah.
Just to let you know about that. So he's never allowed to say that someone is stupid for driving into an intersection when he screamed at me to do it.
Oh,
funny, I don't remember that part. Isn't that funny? I don't. I really don't.
Oddly.
But when I got home, safety.
Yeah, when the blackout ended.
When I got home, the safety kicked in, and I was like, let's run.
Why the fuck were you driving?
Go to all the storm drains and make sure they're open. So then Michael and I rode around the entire neighborhood for an hour in the rain and the water, then all over the neighborhood.
I loved that. Yeah. That was a great post.
Yeah, I hadn't had that much fun riding in the rain since you and I got caught a couple of years ago.
And as soon as you cross 7th Avenue, like west of 7th Avenue, it must be, and I had flooded before. My house is, I've had the water come up the driveway, but there was no water standing anywhere. Like as soon as I crossed over 7th Avenue, there was
you're
no
a little
longer
a little higher elevation over there?
Yeah, it must be, that rain was so like localized to that one area. But one of the driest places, you know, they hid the thermometer for Phoenix at the airport years ago, so they never have 124 that they have to broadcast anymore.
Oh, right.
Even though it is 124 outside, nobody wants to say that.
Okay.
Well, they also put the rain measurement there, and they're in the because of where they sit, it's one of the driest parts of town. It doesn't see a lot of rainfall for some reason because of the little microclimates.
Okay.
And, they had the highest measurement of rain. They're like, oh, we are fucked.
Right. If it's raining this much here.
But that was the fun. Because I wasn't sober. I'd had a couple drinks, but it was hours ago because we were at Denny's till 3:30 in the morning and he was nodding off at the table.
Right.
So I knew we can't live at Denny's. We had eliminated that. But
they
that
won't
was
let
the,
us.
Oh my
but
God.
Why?
That was the funniest part. Was just drive through it.
Go.
And I'm like, motherfucker, if we stall.
And then, can you imagine? Get out and push.
Actually, the real panic was, and I wasn't thinking about what time it was, but actually, because it was so late at night, it was actually early in the morning.
Oh, sure.
So we were at the turn to turn off of Camelback onto 3rd Avenue to take Barbara home, and we were underwater. Like, we were literally underwater, and the light rail tracks were gone.
Yes,
wow.
And
completely.
All of a sudden, the light change that made it, you know, that light that comes on to tell you that the train is coming.
Right.
So I'm like, we are fucked. And he's like, just turn. And I'm like, if that train comes by, they can't see it either. Because it was pitch black.
I'm really
like, there
enjoying
was no,
the
there was no street
imitation.
Lights. There was no street lights. There was there was no moon to see by. You just didn't know until
That's
you went
so
underwater
scary.
How deep it was.
Yeah.
But as we looked and I could see with the headlights, I could see that the light rail tracks were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw that light change. I'm like, that fucking trail's going to derail right on top of my car. Like, I do not want to be in this lane. Oh, no, That was not part of the plan.
Well, that's scary, though.
Oh, it was.
Oh. Mm-mm.
And when the train did come through, I mean, they were plowing water through everything because they stayed on the rail and just went right through it.
Sure.
I do remember seeing that.
And I remember, I'm like, just remember this the next time he talks about the dumb fuckers that drove into a wash.
Right, right.
But I ended up staying because, you know, I said end up staying up till like, I don't know, I had coffee at some point. So I was up like 7 or 8 in the morning.
Oh, no. We would.
So I watched all the news and plus I was kind of worried that was going to come up because it did come up my driveway once. But it flooded my garage, but that, like, my backyard was literally like 3 inches of water, and then the garage was underwater, but that was it.
Mm. That was all there was. Yeah. They did announce today that whole clusterfuck that happened on I-10, where that whole section 43rd flooded.
43rd Avenue, right?
43rd Avenue and I-10, they found out the reason why.
The drain wasn't working?
Well, the way that the systems all work, and there's several of them, you may remember from years ago, there was one on the 51, stimulating radio for people who are not local. There was an area on the 51 that years ago flooded like that, and what had happened was, same thing that happened on 43rd, the automatic sensor to kick the pumps on when that water gets to a certain level never started.
Fail.
The pumps never started, so nobody got an alert to say, come start the pumps manually, because they're not going to do it automatically. So ADOT just released that today.
And then remember, you were making fun of me for telling the cab driver because you said you lived in Glendale, and I'm like, don't get on the 17. And I'm like, especially if you got to go to Cactus. And you're like, it doesn't matter. It was Indian school, was completely underwater.
Hope she didn't go that way.
Yeah. Because I was telling her, I'm like, I've been caught in this shit. I'm like, stay off the 17. It doesn't matter. You don't know where Glendale is. I'm like, I'm no longer a participant in this show now. I'm like, all right.
I'm not sure. I think we should have a disclaimer where celebrity voices impersonated may not be actual representations of the voice.
I don't know. I've never heard it sound like that, but I'm enjoying that.
Apparently I was a smoker that night. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I love it, Molly. Turn around. Don't drown.
Yeah.
I was not an option, Molly.
Too late. We were forging ahead, goddammit. We were. If anyone's listening in New Orleans,
we're
going to
make it if we can.
Thank you, Molly.
You can lose a car. It doesn't matter. Once the water gets to a certain depth, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
We weren't living in the Superdome, but cars were being lost.
Yeah, just look at 43rd Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
That's
fantastic. Now what I want, now that the pumps are all back to working and lovely, I want it to rain again, not quite as hard, because it needs to rinse everything off, because everything's filthy. There's stuff everywhere. Mm-hmm. I drove up to Mom's house, and just all along the way up 7th Avenue, just shit is everywhere.
Yeah. And at the end of your street, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, down here, all the dirt flooded. In fact, I'm about ready to take a shovel and a broom down there and clean up myself.
Because you know what lawn to push it towards.
Yeah, because you can tell.
The lawn with the white rocks is right there.
Yes, exactly right.
I found the culprit.
This is yours. Yeah. shovel. Yeah, but as we sit here tonight, there is a chance that we still may have a little rain shower this evening. They say it's not going to be as bad as it was.
I don't believe any of them.
I'm hoping to count. And then the other thing I thought was kind of interesting, I don't know if anybody else saw it, there was a church in, I think it was out of Ahwatukee.
That was underwater.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they were posting all over the place, please come help us, come help us, come help us. And I'm like, don't you have enough funds already to, I mean, come on.
Right.
All your parishioners, all your people, didn't God tell
Isn't
you
that why you're tithing every Sunday?
Yeah,
what's happening?
Something. I just kind of got irked at that. I'm like, yeah, you really want us to come and save all your shit? I just annoyed me. Sorry, but that was my whole deal. What?
Can't tell.
Yeah.
I can't tell your mind. God damn it.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Kathleen.
Yeah. Dip it. Oh, Mother really? Has joined the chat. Here she is.
Hello, Di.
I hope she had fun the other night.
So lovely to see
you.
Yeah,
I think
you,
she did. She yeah. did. And then I did learn something about Uber Cab, but I did not know.
They don't come out in bad weather?
No, they do. So because I did call Uber for her as we decided to continue drinking at Stacy's and she was ready to go home. When you have the app, you know, obviously the app's on your phone, you can watch the entire travel of the car all the way to the destination.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize you could do that. I know you can see them before you booked. I didn't realize you could see them after you booked, because usually it's me in the car and I don't watch where we're going because I'm like, well, apparently they know. You would think. I don't know. Fuck it.
Let's hope.
We're all hopeful. Yes.
Yes.
Well, we're going to skip Katie this week because she's not there. We're going to go right to Marn with any updates of life or tenderness.
Child porn.
Huh?
Child porn.
Okay.
Apparently, according to my computer, I got locked out because of child porn.
Locked out of what?
Out of my computer, out of the Safari. I spent 3.5 hours last night trying to figure out what was going on. The NSA was watching me. I kept flipping them off through my little camera.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, because it wasn't the NSA. Like, I knew it was something, but I couldn't figure out what. And it's a hack thing that happens apparently with Apple products.
Oh.
I don't believe it's with.
So,
other, and it might just be with the Mac. I'm not sure.
I think I've heard of what you're talking about, where it says that something has happened, and I didn't know if it was specific to this child porn or whatever it is. Where
no, it's either child porn or something with the FBI. There are a couple of different scams.
All my old threats to George Bush.
Right, right.
No, but it's kind of an extortion thing where they say if you want to get this cleaned or fixed, they try to extort money out of you.
Right.
You have to pay
money pack. Like, go to some money pack thing.
Yeah.
And
so what did you?
Well, yeah.
What happens?
Well, I was very proud of myself. 3 and some hours. Usually this thing would be smashed by now, and yeah. I'm done. And I just kept going on to Google on my other Apple products, looking for what the hell, and I finally came across something. And after all that time of reading all these things and locking everything out, now I got to go back and figure out how to undo everything I did, setting privacy this and that. All I had to do was press Control W and hit Enter.
That was it.
And it went away, and it unlocked everything, and it was done.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, my God. Well, it was so simple, but it was really a little frustrating.
Cheapy.
Oh, sure.
Cheapy over here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll avoid the racial slur. Decided, because I was watching The Big Bang Theory in its entirety while I was, before I was sick, and then I had plenty of time to finish it up.
Yes.
So I was buying what I could from Zia, but then there was like 2 seasons that they wanted $34.99 for a season, and I'm like, absolutely not. Am I going to pay $34.99 for
extortion?
A free TV show? So of course I went on my computer and I found some suspicious channel that had it, but you had to like allow this and allow that and download this and
Yeah, no.
Computer does like it lights up like a Christmas tree and screams and hollers and acts like it's being kicked.
Oh, you did it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you wanted that. Yeah, but see, the thing is, Aaron's saying that I don't have antivirus software. Well, you don't on Apple products.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That, you know, God knows there's Norton this and that on the other laptops. But
So, yeah, that,
not
that,
on this,
that just made me laugh at the shit that came with it. I'm like, you know what? I should have just paid the $34.99. Or find out what the hell Amazon Prime is, because I don't know what it is. But it turns out there's a lot of stuff that I want to see, on Amazon Prime, but I guess I got to just spend the money. And find out what it's about.
Dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
Just dig a little deeper. I like it.
You know what I mean? I'll spend money and then all of a sudden I'm offended by the price of something.
That's
you know
how
what
much?
I mean? Like me and sneakers. You know what I mean? I'll buy a car before I'll buy a pair of sneakers because I think sneakers is just, it's too much money.
It's ridiculous. They're just shoes.
Where I finally draw the line, I'm like, oh, that I can't spend money on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Highway robbery.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a $70 bottle of wine, but it's good.
Yeah.
And
those but sneakers are how much?
$14.95 for a season of whatever show? No, can't do it.
No, $34. I don't know. All of a sudden, $19.99 when I wasn't feeling well was the absolute tippy tops I was paying.
You never know
for a
what
season
year.
Of a show that I could have watched for free.
An antibiotic is how much?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no. That was only like $3, and they give that
I know.
Shit away.
Isn't that interesting?
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
No, I finally went through all the receipts because I just expected everything to be $7.50.
Sure.
That's my usual copay. Well, no, some of the medicines way less than $7.50. So it was like $3.41 for this. And
that's nice. That's not how my insurance is.
Yeah, so that's a nice little.
Yeah, little perk.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, enjoyed your get-together on Sunday.
It was a very nice time.
It was.
It was a good time.
And laughing with Michael was just fantastic. We said that the three of us, with Aaron and Michael and I, that we were at the kids' table.
You totally were.
Yeah. And had a lovely time.
And we couldn't help it. Like, it was just one giggle after another with just stupid shit. And it was, I loved it.
Yeah, that was a fabulous table. I was expecting, not that I mind the communal table, but I was expecting us to be up there. So we had the big round one. I mean, it made it a little hard to talk to Ernie because it felt like 7 miles away.
I know. I was like, hi, Di. You know, that was the only disappointment.
But you notice that as the crowd dissipated around us, it became easier and you just never didn't even realize it. Like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's not as loud in here anymore.
Yeah. Oh,
which was nice.
Maybe that's what the bowl in the middle is for.
What?
Because it projects your voice. Like a ski shoot. Boom. You know, you say something.
I thought it was
boom.
A big communal salad bowl. I wasn't sure what that was.
Like, are they going to serve something in that thing?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what, well, we thought that or when you go to Vegas and you, whoop,
And you what?
You spin roulette. Yes, we thought it could be roulette.
She's clearly never seen a roulette bar before.
Well, maybe it's not as bumpy, but you know,
no,
you know, but it's okay. So anyway, that's right, Cozy. Kids' tables are way more fun.
It was good to see Cozy.
Yeah, that was a wonderful surprise.
Yes, I was pleasantly surprised that was the plus one with Matt.
She made the cut, yep.
Yes. Yeah,
that was fantastic. I enjoyed when I looked up and saw her. It just made my day. So thanks, Coz.
And perfect that she's on the side of the table at the kids' table with you all. Because, again, you two hadn't seen each other in a while.
Yeah, it was really nice. That was really, really nice. So, but other than that, just getting ready for the week. And
it's another week. Here we are. Another week closer to the end of the year. And then it's Happy New Year, and then we start over again. Good.
It is. Like, I was writing something to a couple of friends back home and in an email, and I said, I cannot believe that very soon it's going to be the holiday season. Like, I don't get stressed about the holidays. It's just, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
oh, right, yeah.
I'm getting real tired of not enjoying, like, taking the time to enjoy certain months and kind of being able to
because they're gone in like 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying that this Puerto Rico trip is like, oh, it's months and months away. It's in October. It's 34 days away.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, and we're getting ready to go.
Fun. Right. How many?
So we've been to the
gym.
Right. So we're back to the gym.
Right. Back to the
perfume combat. That's 34 days away.
Yeah.
Three of us. It's nice. Shane and I get in the first day. We stay overnight in San Jose. Pick up Mark at the airport on, I think Mark gets in Sunday morning, and we get the rental car and drive across the island because San Jose's on the northeast side of the island, and we're staying on the northwest tip of the island.
Okay.
And so we're going to all drive out there together. We've rented a condo, a penthouse for a shockingly low price.
Mm-hmm.
And
I bet it costs more than that goddamn TV show he was trying to
just a
well dollars. And it might be a damn lie because it was all spam, so you don't know what he clicked on. You don't know.
No, but it looks lovely, and so far the guy that we're renting from seems very nice. And we're actually it's so cheap that we don't even care that we're missing a day of the rental.
Okay.
Like, because the rental properties are so inexpensive. So we're actually going to miss a day, because Mark can't be there till Sunday, and we're going to drive out together.
Okay.
So he was like, do you mind if I stay in the condo that day and don't leave till the next? He's like, I'll just meet you that day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't give a shit what you do. It's your house. We're just, we don't come in till the next day. But it's a condo with a pool. We're like a mile or less than a mile from like one of the best surf beaches in the world.
Oh, fun.
Please. Post pictures of you surfing. Somebody's got to take these pictures.
No, because, you know, the paddle board, not the whatever that thing is called, the half board thing in Hawaii, that there was luckily no witnesses to. So we'll say I did okay.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing a shark come up behind him.
It's not Shark Week in Puerto
Isn't
Rico.
That poetic? For real.
That was the part of the trip where I got spanked, beaten, and thrown for the dead.
That was just Saturday.
So then when I got to, yeah, exactly. So then that was like the second to last beach on that day. And the last beach was Heaven Beach, where I don't know how you say it in English or how you say it in Hawaiian, but it's called Heaven Beach. And it's the one that Obama goes to.
Okay.
And it's his childhood favorite beach. And it's absolutely gorgeous. And it's the big stop. I could barely get out of the car. Like, I got out of the car. I looked at the water from like underneath a tree because I couldn't even take any more, like not a second more sun. So it was my last day in Hawaii. I'm like, okay, that's an ocean. Gotta go.
I see it from here. Yeah. Open the window, let's go. Yep.
I had sand everywhere. Literally everywhere. And luckily in Hawaii, they don't care what you bring. You know, the rental car, they're okay with everything.
They know.
They know that it's going to come back sandy. And right. So, like, I opened up the car, and, like, it was just, I'm like, do I have to pay a cleaning fee? He's like, no, but sand we're used to.
Yeah.
Which, sure. It's an island. We're not going to work on that.
Smoke in the car, put out the cigarettes. Yeah, now we have a problem.
Now we have a problem. You smoke in that car, we got a problem. You bring in, you know, half of the Pacific.
And sure. Vacuum that shit right up. It's not a biggie.
That was one of the funniest days with that board. And I left it in the rental car, too. I was like,
Nobody caught any video or...
Oh, I'm sure some tourist out there has. Oh my God, look at this fat fuck.
I doubt that.
Maybe it'll be one of those touching stories later in life where he meets somebody that happens to be from Hawaii and they were vacationing at the same time, and you watch home movies of his sometime, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh my God. That's not me.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know who that is.
Somebody got murdered right in front of me on camera. That really was one of the funniest days. And I'm like, I should be dead. I went by myself, like, nobody knew where I was. Right. No one would have even, the rental car people would have been the first people to be like,
where's our car?
We're missing.
Exactly.
We're missing a Chevy something or other.
It has sand in it.
No, I think it was a Nissan.
Oh, that's fantastic. I would love to go to Hawaii. I think that's one of my...
That was a long flight.
Yeah, no, it's not at all.
Well, you're drunk. You knock yourself out, don't you?
No.
Oh.
It's
5 hours?
It's like 5 hours and 45 minutes direct to Oahu. And so with the time change, if you're flying, you lose like 3 hours out of your day in the summer. Like, depending on what the time change. No, it's a nothing flight.
Okay.
Absolutely not. But I mean, my flights to New York it's all 5 hours.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's when you get to 8 hours that then we're kind of like, all right, now we got to talk.
Well, that's what I keep thinking about this New Zealand thing that Matt is working on for us, is the fact that we've got to go.
It's going to be a long.
Oh, no, that's a long flight.
Right, but we've got to go to Hawaii first. Then there's like a 2 hour layover. Then you get on the plane and then you're on it for 3 days.
I think it's 20 hours.
I think it's actually 19. But still, ridiculous. I don't know how you...
And you cross the international date line.
Yes, so because obviously Tomo knows...
I can't remember if you go back... One way you gain a day, one day you go back a day.
Well, right now, it's Wednesday afternoon where Tomo is in New Zealand.
Yeah, so it makes no sense because the time gets later tomorrow. That way, but you're flying backwards.
So you just catch tomorrow.
So that's why you catch, like, you cross the date line and I don't get it.
That then, would confuse the
then
shit.
Then I'm like, put me in Arizona time.
Nobody said there'd be math.
Nonstop is 14 hours. Is that from Hawaii, Tomo? He's just saying that in the chat room.
Oh, yeah. But that's
nonstop 14 hours to Auckland, I would assume. But yeah, that's something I'll have to be going to.
But you don't knock yourself out for the Hawaii part. That's the part you stay awake for. And you knock yourself out for
the other leg.
The last leg of it, sure.
Because otherwise, you'll...
But depending on how it's worked, hey, if we're flying first class and we have all that room and seating and I can actually lean back as opposed to not leaning back in other areas, I'll be fine.
Oh, if you're in those seats, you don't lean back. You lay down.
No. Yeah.
That's that 14 hours is L.A. to New Zealand, according to Tomo.
Yeah, so you...
Very good. And when Tomo, by the way, I already told you this.
I didn't know that.
When I get there, I'll be looking you up because if I'm going to New Zealand, I might as well meet somebody over there that I know.
That'd be awesome.
That would be very cool.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That'd be very fun.
That'd be neato.
I'm amazed by that it's only 14 hours. I thought it was much, much longer.
I was told it was 19. And I don't know where I'm getting that from or why, but I was told it was 19.
Yeah, and I always thought it was that last part. I don't know. So there we go.
I was actually with you on the 3 days.
Well, yeah.
I believed you.
Yeah.
It's a space shuttle.
You go into high orbit.
You don't know.
Then you come back
and
for re-entry.
I'm going on that trip with you.
Which one?
The New Zealand one.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Nobody's going to New Zealand without me, people. Settle down.
Oh.
Well, Tomo.
Apparently you're going to meet Al, too. So get ready.
Everybody settle down.
We're going to need a karaoke bar.
It's going to happen.
We're going to need a karaoke bar and maybe a winery. So get ready.
Oh, New Zealand has good wines. I've already done that. I've already done the legwork.
Done
that
research.
That
okay, that's good to know.
I love it.
Tomo says it feels like 3 days. So at least I'm good. We're consistent on that one.
I'll be the nurse for drugs on that one.
Well, look at that.
Handy.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I did that, when I did the France trip, I did first class. And because I did a overnight from my flight was overnight and I landed at like 8 o'clock in the morning in Paris. So the first class seats on the Airbus, you lay down flat. They go all the way back and it's a little bed and you get your
sleeping mask
and your earplugs. They give you the noise reducing
headphones.
And they had the buffet, the wine buffet in the back, the little food service if you got up, and you could change into your pajamas if you want to in first class. And the lady asked me what I wanted to drink when I woke up. I had like a whole stack of scotch next to me, and I just put it into my bag and had scotch for the whole trip to Paris. I was like, you never know when you're going to fall on dark times
we
in
don't
France.
Know.
They
we
might,
don't know.
They might revolt again.
Well, from earlier conversation, you're a girl on a budget. So.
Exactly. But I'd like to buy all the movies, please.
Yes.
No, the movies are free.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, yeah, and you have your. You don't just get to see like one East West. You get a whole list of movies. Oh, yeah, that was a whole different way to travel to Europe. That was worth every penny.
See, and I've only flown like from here to Jersey, so I'd be like, Jesus
and
Christ,
I flew,
how long are we on this plane?
Well, no, but
that was a long time.
The Paris part was Philadelphia to because I was in Niagara Falls,
okay.
And then I had to fly from Buffalo to Philly, and then the no, there's no international flights out of Buffalo. No. Settle, no. Down. Settle down,
settle down.
Settle it's not down. The Buffalo International Airport.
It is the Buffalo International oh, is Airport because they fly to Toronto.
Oh
no, but they, you know, there's
that's it.
No, the days of flying anywhere direct from Buffalo have long since passed. The Southwest is the only reason that you can get from Phoenix to there.
I'm trying to recall when I went to New York in 93. I know I went Phoenix, Detroit, and then into Newark, and yeah, then we went under. But I don't remember if my return was the same or if...
Yeah, you were on, what was that, Northwest Airlines that always went through Detroit?
I think you are correct on Northwest Airlines, yeah.
I did that. And I had a big polka dot like Lancome bag that you got free with your makeup. So my carry-on bag was this big blue and white polka dot carry-on. It was obnoxious.
Well, now you know what to look for, Tomo.
And I gave that up
long ago. Since gone.
But I went to get off the plane in Detroit during the solid days of Detroit. And the flight attendant, this gay guy, comes up and he goes, "I don't know about that bag in this airport." I was put on death watch.
I can believe that.
We're going to need an extra locker for the hat.
Excuse me, sir.
It's long.
It was so roomy. But it was big blue and Lancome blue and white polka dots. It was hysterical. And I remember my mom, like, because she heard my sister drop me off at the airport, and the both of them, like, really?
And nobody.
Gift with purchase, people. It was a gift with purchase.
And you should show it off. Absolutely. I agree.
Couldn't have even hit another luggage and said, "I'm taking it to my sister." No. No.
Nope.
No, it's mine.
No, no, all mine.
I'm the one wearing the Lancome. I'm keeping the bag.
I'm keeping the bag.
She's wearing Maybelline. I'm wearing Lancome.
They don't give you a bag with Maybelline. Yeah, they do. It says Walgreens.
Uh-huh. That's good stuff.
Sorry, Deb. She's listening.
There you go.
Hi, Deb.
Got it. Well, since we were last together, you have now a clean bill of health with your throat issue.
Yay!
Very happy with that.
Oh. All is well.
If you you can grab her bell.
Absolutely no no remaining tonsillitis. And yes. So, all good. Because it turns out that a big old grown-ass man should not be getting his tonsils out. That is not on the menu.
Not
so.
This. Not in this.
Not gonna
in the
happen.
Golden years, you have to refrain from that.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, he was like, "They look fine." And he was like, "You don't want them out, do you?" I'm like, "No, I don't want to take any more time off from work." He's like, "Good, because at your age, that would be an ordeal." And he's like, "We'd have to talk about that." I'm like, No. I'm like, "They look fine, then they're fine."
Because it becomes a bigger surgery kind of thing? Or,
And he was talking like 5 and 6 weeks. And
oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah, he's like of just pain. So I'm like, okay.
That's just...
Done.
Wow, huge comparison to 3 days when you're a child having it done.
Yeah, sure. And that's... And he gave an age when it got worse and then another age, and I was past...
Well, I'm sure.
I was past all the ages.
I think it's
ages.
Like those things like where you...
All the ages he mentioned, I was older than all of them.
I think it's where you're taking a survey, and they're like, between 30 and 34.
Yeah.
35 to 39.
And now I'm in the last box. Just anywhere from now till death, check this box. We don't care what you buy or what you're watching.
You're not getting it.
Because Aaron had like a little tonsil issue 2 years ago. So she was in the other category. And so it was fine. But, I mean, she certainly was in pain. She's not a very good patient, though. I love you, dear.
Yeah.
No, I mean at all.
No, I cut. I got that from her.
Yeah,
a brief interview from her, and I realized that
I'd like to get her analgesics because she's a pain in the ass.
Wow,
they are appropriately named.
I'm saying
she had her tonsils out. She was off work for 2 weeks. She said,
"Yeah, wow, that's what I mean." She's in that category.
Yeah, but he said like it was that it'd be a long time before you like were up and running and eating appropriately.
Sure.
I'm like, wait, let's go back. I'm like, this weight loss thing sounds good. Let's not be too hasty.
No, we're not going to jump into anything here.
6 weeks?
Give or take. Yeah.
How much are we talking?
Let's see. This had me down about a week and a half. I'm good.
Only eating gelato and ice chips? Okay. How thin am I going to get?
Sold.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That gets old fat.
I know.
Mama's going to want a burrito at some point.
Oh, ow.
Yeah.
No, you're not a wonderful patient. Let's not lie in the chat room. Anyway.
Lovely.
Other people can. You can't. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just wrapping it up for me. We've already talked about I turned 45 and the birthday's over and done with, and it was lovely. And right. And the choice of the people at the circle table was lovely. And I will tell you that Carlton's little tribute, or whatever you want to call that, homage to me that he did, I totally caught me off guard. I was really surprised. I mean,
it was very sweet.
It was very, very sweet. It really, really was. And very nice that that he thinks as highly of me as I do of him. I think that's lovely. Yeah. And it's the same way with all the people from around that table. It was just a great...
And Doug was able to get like 99% of that on video. Doug was right on it with that, what I'm assuming is a new phone.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was Doug's subtle way of saying, I have a new phone, people. Pay attention.
Could be.
But pictures are being taken, videos were taken.
Yeah. So it's for all eternity to happen to hear is Jason Carlton.
Oh, now we all have a standing date at First Draft. Is that what we decided it's called?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
At Changing Hands, the wine bar at Changing Hands. You can have wine and desserts while shopping for books.
It's lovely.
And sitting and watching TCM on the three medium-sized screens.
Absolutely.
It was just a place designed with me in mind. Mm-hmm. I just have to tell you. So the First Draft is...
TMC?
TCM, Turner Classic Movies.
Oh, I thought the movie channel. I was like,
no,
what am
I missing?
No,
it was Turner Classic Movies playing.
I didn't hear you
playing,
say what was playing.
Yeah. And so Doug and I did that on Friday night, maybe. Yeah. And we went to the Southern Rail for
Do they only have wine?
No.
It was wine and beer, and then I really didn't care because we were pretty buzzed.
I don't know past that.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't either. But the Southern Rail has a full bar. Mm-hmm. They did absolutely have a full bar. And
you have a flask.
Yes, I do. Still have a flask.
And now we got to get you on the wine check because... All these places are opening, and they're not getting full liquor licenses lately. I guess this wine thing's taken off.
Well, and it's so
only
much
taken
cheaper.
About 800 years, but this wine thing's getting popular.
Yeah, they like it.
Well, I might be able to find one. like I never have, and I know it will not be a red ever.
Oh yeah, I'm not a fan.
Reds
of the red.
Make me almost like really physically sick. This the smell of them. It's horrible to me. It's rather pungent smell. And then the other thing that was to my complete surprise was that the. Everybody's been joking about this pursuit of the bus that I'm looking for, yada yada yada. And when Jason Carlton said to my mom, "Just give him a few thousand dollars and go buy the bus," my mom's like, she wasn't opposed to it. She's like, "Well, is it in good shape?"
Wait a minute,
I don't want to have buyer's remorse.
Because it's something you don't expect that any of your parents are going to be on board with.
Sure,
Mom, I'm going to buy my first house. Mom, I'm going to do this. Yeah. We're going to do that. Now, you're going to buy a 50-year-old bus?
Get the bus. Get
Come
the
on.
Bus, son.
Yeah.
Get the bus.
50-year-old bus. Just to get that going.
Yeah.
I think that would be hysterical.
I thought it was so funny. Yeah.
That would be really good stuff.
She was going along with a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. But. There's nothing
Can
wrong
you speak
with
a little louder into the microphone, please? Thank you very much.
I have
how
that
many,
now.
How many bottles of wine are
Just
we in?
Sign right here.
Sign right here. Be completely fine. And Ruben's another one you have to watch out.
Sure.
He used the words us and we so many times in talking to me in regards to the house that we'll have and it'll be good for us, like the pool and all that shit. Yeah, I'm like, you need to calm down on your us and we because. Again, speak a little louder into the microphone, sir.
And there's me like, attack now!
Could you sign this?
He was like, really? He goes, you just need to get on that right now. I'm like, I'm like,
two more drinks and it's not going to be pretty, but for right now, it's still all legal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we're in good legal standing here.
I've already told him 100 times, like, you just tell me the day I need to stop working at Charlie's because I don't want to infringe on any rules we have on... marital bliss between employees.
Not defecating where you consume food.
Yes.
That's it.
That's pretty close.
He's such a cutie.
Oh, he totally is.
Yeah. He's such a good guy.
Yep.
That was nice.
He'll learn how all of the different ways I can take care of him later in life. He'll learn all that.
Well, this became awkward just now.
Uncomfortable.
What? Okay. Next.
Well, then getting us out of all this uncomfortable.
Just get us home.
Let's...
Turn.
Just rainwater, goddammit. Let's start with headlines just because we can on this Tuesday night. It is Tuesday, September 9th, 2014. This is show 181, and these are headlines. Somebody suck it to me.
Let's not rush into anything.
No ketchup for you.
Don't lose your goddamn mind.
Fire me? I'll show you.
Phallic home?
Do you think this is my shade?
Parents just don't understand.
And take my evil spell, please. These and more stimulating stories and driving through water coming up now right here on Q Talk America.
Smart people that drive. Smart.
Well, this will be one that Aaron will like to hear because it's a touching story about a dog in socks. A 3-year-old Great Dane was miserable and wrenching around on the floor, and his owners decided they'd rush him to the Northwest Portland, Oregon Emergency Animal Hospital. It wound up being something that he ate. Well, x-rays showed that his stomach was full of, quote, a large quantity of foreign material. And nearly 2 hours of surgery later, Dr. Ashley Maggie had the answer. The dog had consumed 44 socks. Literally, entire abdomen full of socks.
Oh, my God.
The Dove
Now, when do you not notice that you're missing 40 pairs of socks?
Well, maybe it was just one. Was it a pair?
Well, I didn't say that they were matched.
Right, that's my point. So it could be, this isn't about the dryer taking your socks.
No, right. But I'm going to assume this was in one setting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking. I don't know. The Dove Lewis Emergency Animal Hospital spokeswoman, Shauna Harsh, said it's perhaps the strangest case in the hospital's history. So strange that the hospital entered last February's tail, complete with x-rays, in an annual contest sponsored by the vet magazine called Veterinary Practice News. Well, and then they won a prize with this. Fittingly enough, the contest is called They Ate What? Even stranger, the $1,500 first place winner was a Plano, Texas animal hospital that treated an exotic frog.
I thought you said anal hospital. I mean, I did too. There's a hospital just for your anus?
Well,
it's right behind the cat hospital.
It's
for butt chugging.
Yeah.
The Texas Animal Hospital treated an exotic frog that ate more than 30 small ornamental rocks from its own cage. The Dove Lewis entry.
Again, didn't you notice that 28 of them were missing?
No, little rocks. It's a small frog. The Dove Lewis entry summary says the Great Dane was discharged home after surgery. Harsh says that the owners are not able for comment, but she confirmed the dog is alive and well, and there is no word on what he has eaten as of late. They showed it. There was a picture. I meant to get it and show you. They literally, in the vet's office, they had all 43 socks laid out on a rack.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. Love it.
All right.
Every time I hear these stories, I just think, I'm not a pet owner, but I'm sure I would be better than that. I'm sure, like, when the 30th sock went missing, I'd be like, hold the fuck up.
Why am I buying more socks?
The dog hasn't pooped in 2 weeks and I don't have any socks. Perhaps these two stories are related.
Has Marmaduke been in the laundry room?
We should call Tammy and see if these stories are real. Well, there's a mega church, an evangelical megachurch. And the pastor calls women.
Oh, I love this guy.
Penis home.
I heard of this.
Yes.
Didn't read it.
It's Washington-based Mars Hill Church will close 15 branches because of the controversy from this founder, Mark Driscoll. Because the United States, you know, is a pussified nation. Really? I mean, this guy is just...
And don't they have like an outlet in... like in Portland, Oregon, don't they? Like, if it's not important, it's like in like one of the most liberal little tiny parts of town, and in the middle of it, they have like the cock home. like they have this, and everybody stands on the street pointing, like, how did they get the license to, like, who would build here?
I have to Google this.
Yep.
Katie's not here to do it for me.
Right. So a bunch of people have been laid off, and.
Bad use of words there.
Yes. And Driscoll, they're calling for his resignation because he's done a lot of inappropriate things. Use of church funds, plagiarizing, supposedly. Weird, plagiarizing with the Bible?
Yeah, I know.
Weird.
And consolidating power to such a degree that it's difficult for anyone to challenge or even question him. And a lot of the shit that he says, cricket, somewhere. The tide has been turning against Driscoll for some time, who has made a spectacle of himself over the years with his anti-LGBT, anti-woman remarks, many of which he has espoused as key elements of his theology. Preaching theology, complementarianism, in which women are considered men's followers and subordinates. Oh, that would go over well. I'd like to see a whole bunch of us go there. Driscoll has expressed a belief that women should always be submissive. According to one report, the pastor once instructed a female congregant to get on her knees and apologize to her husband for failing to bend to his will, and then give him a blowjob. Of course, right?
Jeez.
Well, as long as you're bending to his will, you got to do something about it.
You're on your knees
that
already.
That is a different tithe than I am used to, I'm telling you.
Uh-huh.
Do I have to give 10%?
20. Give your all.
Just the tip.
That's right.
Exactly. Just Usually that's 20%. Usually.
That's big. I appreciate you. Oh, that's funny. In 2001 blog post under the pen name William Wallace II, Driscoll blatantly asserts his patriarchal understanding of women's roles in the world, essentially calling them penis homes. The first thing you know about your penis is that despite the way it may the way it may see, it is not your penis. Ultimately, God created you, and it is his penis. This is a quote. You are simply borrowing it for a while. While his penis is on loan, you must admit that it is sort of just hanging out there, very lonely, as if it needed a home, sort of like a man wandering the streets looking for a house to live in.
Don't you feel like you're reading his Rorschach?
Oh my God, this is terrifying.
Like, this is a disturbed man's vision of his own penis, mm-hmm. that he's trying to...
Absolutely.
He's trying to hang on me, if that's not the right word.
Or just a thing in there. Knowing that his penis would need a home, God created a woman to be your wife. And when you marry her and look down, you will notice that your wife is shaped differently than you and makes a very nice home.
Well, it doesn't live there. It's not like a garage.
Apparently it's supposed to. Oh, and in case you're a dude who finds yourself thinking that your hand and or maybe another dude would make for a good home, Driscoll authored Homophobia to counter that thought by saying, therefore, if you are single,
you're homeless.
You must remember your penis is homeless.
Yeah.
And needs a home. But though you may believe your hand is shaped like a home, it is not. And though women other than your wife may look like a home, to rest there would be breaking into another man's home.
That was my favorite part. Then he gets into this tortured metaphor. Yeah. Oh, this guy's a
and
treat.
If you look at a man, it is quite obvious that what a homeless man does not need is another man without a home. Can you imagine sitting in the pew?
I'm going to tell you that
yeah.
man.
That man wait in, a minute.
That two-man home is decorated fantastically, though.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
With a bag from Lancome.
Yeah. I see polka dots. It was too much when I read that, thinking, now.
That's malarkey.
There have been. Serious. What are these shenanigans, I say? There have been
Can you get a two-car garage? That's what I want. Yes.
Parking in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, horrible.
Deliveries in front, parking in the rear.
God.
It's just too much.
That is ridiculous. I didn't read that story, but now I feel like I should go back and go through it all.
Yeah, it's just... Ridiculous. It is just
Where do these
ridiculous.
People come up with this?
My friend Chris
and
was
the
trying...
And the people that listen to it. The people that will sit through it and listen to it and think, oh, yes.
My friend Chris
Let's go
was,
home, honey.
was sending me messages on Thursday to kind of cheer me up. He was worried about my spirits. So he was sending me everything. He sent me that one to read. Like the guy from Virginia getting indicted. Like he was just sending me like the
cream of the crop.
Malarkey.
I love that.
Oh, I thought of Al with this next story. A popular Fort Myers, Florida restaurant has taken ketchup off the menu and actually completely out of the building. Mad Fresh Bistro chef and owner Xavier Duclos says he simply won't allow the condiment in his kitchen or dining room at all. Quoting, the worst I had was a woman who pulled Parmesan cheese and ketchup out of her bag, and I said to her, don't do that.
He said that
she never came back. He was born in New York City and raised in France. Duclos spent 2 years studying fine French cuisine. He wants people to trust his cooking capabilities. It's a lifestyle, he says, and it is tradition. Even though French fries and burgers make up a good chunk of his menu, it's his way or the highway, no ketchup whatsoever.
Now, the only thing, I'll dip a French fry in ketchup, but even then, I've stopped doing that because I eat too many French fries then.
Sure.
I just put pepper on them, and I like them.
Aaron thinks that food in general, is just a vessel for condiments. More mustard, more ketchup.
Horseradish.
More Parmesan cheese.
If you bring me French fries and don't bring me ketchup, I really don't care. It doesn't
now,
affect
if you don't
me
bring
in any
me
way.
Sriracha, I'm going to cry. Or like Cholula, like I'm that kind but, of. I want spicy, but
Rabaloka will not like. He's just he calls them ketchup people. Like there is just no ketchup allowed anywhere near him. He doesn't like just and he's from the family
Italian
fresh stuff
right.
and everything. And there's just no place for ketchup in their
sure. Why do you have that?
Yeah.
You don't trust my cooking, I'm sure.
And like, I don't
and
put
it's
it
not
in,
needed.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll dip a potato, like any just a mm-hmm. potato. That's the only thing. And even mm-hmm. then, I'm like, I really don't care.
Right.
Like
right.
It's not a. I throw ketchup away most of the time in my house. It always expires before I ever use a bottle of ketchup.
Yeah, I'm mustard. I love.
Oh,
mustard.
I love mustard mm-hmm. and horseradish.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh yeah, horseradish. Yeah.
Very much.
But it usually mm-hmm. comes with. Usually, you order something and it comes with. You know, like beef on wax sandwiches in New York. Like, you get horseradish.
I found that if you can buy stuff, like you buy the horseradish sauce, you can put on anything, and it just it dresses anything up, makes it spicy.
And the French, Tom was saying, the so French good. Use mayo mostly. They do have ketchup. They do have, but it doesn't taste right. They forgot. They didn't do the thing back in the 50s where we just added sugar to it.
Everything
became
right.
palatable. Like, because Heinz just took what was tomato sauce and just added all the sugar in the world till it just tasted like.
Something sweet.
Something sweet. Mm-hmm. But the French ketchup doesn't have the same taste.
I've not taken that European flight like you, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. I actually landed, too, so that's where I had it.
Oh.
It wasn't just a George Bush flyover.
Sure looks bad down there.
Drive by.
But it's nothing is sweet. Like, even their desserts aren't. They're not like sweet American like ours. Sweet. Yeah, it's not like sweet like ours. It's very. Everything is. That's the first thing you notice after a couple days over there is like, wow, everything doesn't taste like sugar here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's overload. They were
and
talking about kids' lunches.
Then you kind of miss it. Like, all of a sudden you're like, I could use something sickeningly sweet.
They call that cravings.
Yeah.
yeah, no kidding.
They really do.
Coming down off that sugar high you've been on for 48 years.
Give me some sugar.
Right.
All right, so don't lose your goddamn mind. I mean,
too late.
Real. Yep, I get that, truly. But enough already with this reclining seats business.
Mm.
I mean, really. There was another flight that was forced to land when a reclined seat caused a woman to lose her goddamn mind. It has it here. She says, if the person in front of me reclines her seat, so help us all.
So help us all.
I don't, like, we've heard it's trendy, right? I mean, like, now this has become, like, the trendy thing with the article that we did with the knee.
Yeah, and they have the thing that blocks.
The knee locks.
Right.
Knee locks.
And you can put those on in the side. It's maybe a quarter of an inch, people?
Yeah, like, it's not
what
much.
Am I missing? And I'm the one with the big fat belly. Like, you bring that back even a quarter of an inch, that's a lot. Like, oh, hell, you know, whatever.
I think it's going to hit your tits first, but I'm just saying.
Well, it depends on how I'm sitting.
Okay.
But.
Posture's important.
It is. Absolutely.
Important takeaway.
But
shoulders back, chin out.
And we're off. But everybody has become, this is, the idea that they have to land planes now.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, over these fights.
Over these fights. If you ask Delta what happened on Flight 2370, they'll say it was diverted to Jacksonville due to safety reasons in regard to a passenger issue. But that's just code for some lady lost her goddamn mind. It was supposed to be a nonstop from New York City to Palm Beach. But then some lady went bitch cakes when the woman... When the woman who was sitting in front of her had the audacity to recline her seat. Apparently, the crazed woman was trying to sleep on the tray table and was woken up when the back of the chair undoubtedly
bonk.
Now they have slammed into her head. There's no slamming. It does not go back that fast.
It's like...
Yeah. You're not slamming. There's no slamming.
That's one of the best Ellen jokes when she does that long story joke.
My favorite. Put your tray...
Dead?
Survive.
Alive. Right. I was going to have that. I had that written down. I wanted you to have that audio, but I couldn't. I didn't take the time to just find that piece.
And that Scottish, so the Scottish comedian. Oh God, he ended up being a serious actor. He was in Mrs. Brown, Her Majesty Mrs. Brown. I can't think of his name, but he does the funny thing about when the plane goes down like a dart, and everyone's wearing their life preservers, so that in 50,000 years, an archaeologist can say, "Hi, there was a river here." She found out these people with life preservers on.
Because they had their flotation devices. My God, that's awesome.
It's another one of those jokes about airplanes that always makes me laugh. Aye, there was a river here.
Very good. The fellow passenger, Aaron Klinkman, was sitting... I know, I'm enjoying this tremendously. Was sitting next to the seat recliner when it all went down. The woman who was sitting next to me knitting actually tried reclining her seat back, and the woman behind her just started screaming and swearing, and the flight attendant came over, and that just exacerbated what was going on, and then she demanded the flight land. And so we do that now? So they did? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's like, but when she finds out how much it cost her for that plane to land.
I know. I was wondering, because I know that's not in here, but I wonder about that.
The fine, if it's your Bill Connolly. Yes, it is Billy Connolly. Thank you, Molly. Yes. Molly, get out of my head. How much? It's like $25,000 or $50,000, like, and it's like a student loan. Like, you can't get out of that.
She says, I don't care about the consequences.
Well,
just
I didn't realize I was talking
down.
To her directly. How exciting.
I know. No, but that's what she's like.
This just in. She doesn't care. Are you there?
No.
Plotnick?
No,
what's her name? Clink
tell
Dick?
Tell that cunt I don't care.
Clink Dick. What's her name?
That was the next to the seat recliner.
Clink Copper Clappers.
But it says, you know what happened when the plane tilted a bit due to the weight of everyone rolling their eyes all at once. The plane ended up being diverted to Jacksonville, and a flight attendant stayed by this lunatic until they landed. And then she was escorted by the police.
Of course she was.
Is she drunk?
Nope, but she's on a no-fly list now.
She sure is. So unnecessary, it says. This is the third recent instance of a plane being diverted over reclining seats. A week ago, as we had talked about, was diverted because the passenger had the knee defender. And a few days ago, a couple of air marshals were forced to subdue a passenger during a flight over a reclined seat, Miami.
To subdue.
That was originally destined for Paris.
Oh, no, that would really piss you off. Because that really? Way, you're going to lose a day in Paris.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to lose a day of your vacation over
because
some dumbass.
Because of
and
that.
And they should do the whole thing, like, on airplane where they took turns, you know, calming the lady down, they slap right. her, and then two right. people back, it's a nun right. with brass knuckles.
Yep.
That's how that should be handled.
And it really should be handled that way. That's crazy.
I don't know how well this will play, but let's see how this sounds from Ellen DeGeneres.
I love it.
This is me trying to relax on the plane. This is upright. Recline. See the difference there? Uncomfortable? Comfortable. Now I can sleep.
As it is, it's a ridiculous. But you being taller, is that something that's important to you?
I have the leaning back.
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, it might be if I did, but I'm always of the mind of inconveniencing the person behind me, so I never do it.
Right.
But like I said, when I went to Atlanta just a few weeks ago, it was at 30 in the morning and there was nobody. I made a beeline for the last row on that plane. Mm-hmm. Nobody was back there. Right. I was able to kind of turn sideways and I was fine. I mean, it didn't bug me, right. But yeah, I typically don't because I know that I don't want the person in front of me to lean back, so I don't lean back being considerate of the person behind me.
Sure. The people that if they're
like,
leaning
fuck
back
him, I don't care.
If they're leaning back and forward and back and you know, back and forth, now you annoy me. But you lean your chair back when you get in. I just don't give a shit.
Sometimes I don't care and then sometimes I do lean back cuz I just want that pressure off my back.
Sure.
Especially
sure.
you know, some of the flights are kind of long. 5.5 hours is a long time to sit straight up. So.
That is
but all
a that, long
all
time.
This is happening, or all that's happening with this, though, is that it's kind of like a carte blanche for, oh, you're mad?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll land.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, there are consequences that go along with it. Some people don't
right,
care.
Right, but they don't realize till they land, and right, then they're okay. just not thinking of, like, there's like 300 people on this plane. Sure. Who want you dead now?
Right.
They're not happy.
Yeah.
For your own safety.
They have your number and your karma.
Yeah. We're going to put you on another plane.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, you're going to pay $30,000.
Yeah. Fuck that. Here's a bus pass.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And you're on and I'm 99% sure you're immediately on a no-fly list.
I would think so.
Because the airlines want nothing. Yeah. You've grounded an airplane. Yeah. You might as well be a terrorist.
Wow.
You have the same effect as a terrorist.
Yep.
And I think you're automatically a no-fly.
Thank God. At least we don't have to worry about her on our flight.
Greyhound is still running for her.
Right.
God damn it. They'll get you there.
Right.
Leave the driving to them.
But
bitch.
But don't recline your fucking seat.
No, do not.
No, not even.
He's got to go like this. All right. I'm really looking forward to buying that bus.
Or may not be one of the more enjoyable things I've seen on this show.
Can you get both tassels going in opposite directions when you do that?
Let me think. I was dancing, so he came in that door.
It's the show. We got more coming. Stick with us. We got Drinking Word coming up in just seconds right here on Cute Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Cute Talk America. This is Cute Talk America.
following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
It is the top of the hour. We call it 8 o'clock here in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm not sure what time it is where you are, but welcome. It is The Show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee in Studio C, along with Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. Katie June has the night off, so it's just the three of us. We've only got the one camera. Hi, waving at the camera. Hi, people. They don't give a shit. Somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. It doesn't matter. I don't even know what that is I'm doing. It doesn't matter even. It's all right. Beginning of hour two, we were in the middle of headlines. We've got entertainment coming up with Mr. Perkins. And then we've just got a whole bunch of extra time that we're going to talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about, because Katie's not here for sports and other stuff. But hey, it doesn't matter. Also,
and enough has happened in sports and other stuff, and I think we can cover that.
I think we're good.
Coming up, though, a little programming note. We did state this at the beginning of the show, if you're just joining us. From now, basically until after the election in here in the States, until in the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, Katie June will be out because of her allegiance to a political candidate here in town. So she'll be, her plate's just too full. So Kat Carlson, who has been with us the past couple of weeks, will be filling in for that duration of time, which
and
is great.
And get well soon.
Oh, yeah, and she's, and really, she's under the weather right now, too. So That's crazy. Oh, and apparently Kat Carlson's listening right now.
Kat Carlson!
She's listening live. What the hell?
Uh-oh. I hope you're not driving.
No, but she's working tonight, filling in. Right. So maybe all of Cashin is listening to us. She's making them all suffer through the show at the bar. Wow.
Well, our apologies.
Sorry about the dancing.
Kat's buying.
We'll be resuming dancing at 10 p.m.
Well, Kat, we'll get that that drinking word started for you.
We'll do that. Go. We'll do it, and it starts right now.
Swashbuckle.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, our drinking word has to be malarkey.
Malarkey. I thought I was picking up on that earlier. I appreciate it.
Oh, malarkey.
Yeah, I do enjoy that word.
It is a good word. I like it a lot.
Malarkey. I'll put that up. So that's our drinking word. You hear us say it. Feel free to have a beverage at home. We hope you're enjoying a libation as we do every Tuesday and other days of the week, too. But, I mean, Tuesday, we really hit it hard. Most. Really get in there.
Well, there it is.
Oh, my.
I hit it hard on Friday. I got to tell you, I stayed very well behaved at your birthday party because I hit it, kicked it, knocked it around a little bit on Friday night at that, first at the Southern Rail where they had a wine from California that I enjoyed. They had the Tally from Temecula.
Uh-huh.
So that was really exciting, and they charged just as much as they did if you bought it at the place. But then we went over to First Draft, and they let us taste every wine on the menu, which was just lovely. And then they let us drink two more glasses, which was a bad idea. And we were just annihilated because we did sample plates from the restaurant. Then we had a donut between the two of us, like we were.
Oh, and that's when you left. You were talking to the guy that was skateboarding.
Oh, yeah. Then we met a skateboarder on the ride home.
A shirtless skateboarder.
He was wearing everything, but he was carrying an empty hanger.
Got it.
Because he carries his shirt, and his name is Buddy.
Yeah.
He carries his shirt on his way to work, and
has nothing to do with the cars.
And oddly enough, lives across the way from Doug. And Doug was like, "Who? Do you know who the guy is that's playing all that loud music?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's me."
Yeah, it's me. Who do we complain about this fellow? Well, you're
Me.
You just got
guilty.
The customer service department.
Yeah.
You're talking to him.
So that was
your call is very important to us.
And then I called, because I knew Shane was home. I called Shane and I'm like, what are you doing? Because I didn't want to go home. And he, you know, he lives between me and where I was standing.
Yeah.
So went over there and watched my first video game. I have never seen a video game.
You watched your first video game?
I mean, I remember video games like when we were younger.
Like Pong.
Like Pong. Right. Yeah. I had
Space
not,
Invaders.
I had not seen, you know, when they say they make movies out of video games, I'm thinking, you people are smoking crack. We watched this movie where he was this kid that had a mission to save somebody
else. He's interacting
else.
With this.
So you're interacting, but there's like dialogue
War
in it.
Games?
No. It was, I guess so. Like,
would you like to play again?
Yeah. I mean, this was the amount of time between seeing a video game was like 30 years.
Right. Come
along. I was
not
expecting the graphics, the dialogue going along, the interaction. And then it just kept going and going and going. I'm like, at no point do you not lose these special powers and die and have to start over. And he was so good that he kept going for the longest time. And the dialogue got funnier and funnier. And then it would tell him how to get a power and how to get here and here. And I was really quite captivated by it because I was drunk off my ass. And then all of a sudden I realized, I'm like, wait. I'm like, you keep going. Oh, you can't beat that machine. So it starts. So it would start over like I was expecting a video game too. But we're like 45 minutes into it before he had to keep starting over.
Got it.
And
that's a bunch of
malarkey.
But I felt like I was watching a movie because he's like, I'm so sorry. He's just like, I'm really into this game and I just got it. I'm like, I am thoroughly entertained. And then finally I had to raise my hand and be like, I'm not as thoroughly entertained. He's like, neither am I. We're done. We'll watch a movie.
And then what did they watch?
Oh, The Incredible Shrinking Woman.
Oh.
With Lily Tomlin.
Wow, I have not seen that
in forever.
An American classic. And I have to tell you, I got as low as... constant giggling was about as low down the ladder. I was like kicking my feet and right. We were rewinding parts over and over.
That's
like
awesome.
Another thing that I forgot how much I had stolen from until like she would say it out loud and been like, oh my God, I've been saying that my entire life. I didn't realize it came from
that dialogue.
That's fantastic.
funny movie.
Yeah,
so.
I've not seen that in forever. That's right.
Oh my gosh. Well, continue on. By the way, again, drinking word is malarkey. We are continuing on with headlines to get us through this. Authorities say a 19-year-old Lake Charles, Louisiana man is in custody after he allegedly drove his car into the entrance of the Walmart store that he had just been fired from.
Oh.
Later on in the story, we're going to learn probably why he was fired. Police Chief Lewis Coates says Andre Hoffman was arrested Thursday on charges of simple battery of an officer as well as aggravated criminal damage to property owned by the Walton family.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I just threw that in there.
Oh, okay.
That last part.
I'm like, really? Sam's feelings were hurt?
KPLC-TV reports that Hoffman was fired and then escorted out of the store around 9:30 a.m. Coates says Hoffman then got into his car, drove to the store's front entrance, crashed through the barricades and into the doors. Witnesses say that Hoffman then got out of the car, entered the store, and verbally threatened some of the employees. I mean, no injuries were reported. Ultimately, Coates says citizens and employees detained Hoffman until police arrived.
They subdued him.
Yes. They subdued him, right. That was no malarkey. officers
took him to the book section.
Here's where we learn.
He got so confused.
Here's where we learn why he was fired. The last sentence. Officers had to use stun guns to immobilize him. I'm thinking that the meth.
Yeah.
Pretty
probably
much
kicked in.
Mm-hmm. Bath salts.
Yeah.
Something.
We got a markdown. We got a markdown. So we have to fire you. We're rolling back prices. God damn it.
You're our full-time book section employee. Oh, there's two books.
Oh, and I'm going to guess that probably it sounded, when they fired it, it sounded something like this.
I'm going to fucking find him.
There. See,
with a final word of malarkey.
That's just a bunch of malarkey.
It's just a glass pipe, officer.
A little residue. Not much.
We're rolling back prices.
I will calm
You're
down next
rolling.
Year.
Yeah, that's right.
We're rolling back prices and rolling our own.
Yeah. That's right.
I will calm down in the year of our Lord 2016.
If he would have rolled his own, he would have been very past. Do you want me to leave? Can I get a snack? I'm going to leave.
Okay, there's a McDonald's in the front of here somewhere.
I need a Big Mac.
This whole fucking smell. This place smells like a grease trap. God.
Are you hungry? You want to go with me?
Ketchup in little packages. It's malarkey.
Okay.
Sometimes
so there's
parents...
a difference between a crackhead employee and a stoned employee.
That's right.
One just isn't leaving. No. You can't put a KFC in the front and expect your stoned employee to leave.
Never. Smell that grease.
I'm gonna open my mouth and lay in front of where the chicken comes out.
I'll just go this far into the building, okay? I'll just go this far.
Is this no parking?
Stand right here. It's coleslaw. It's coleslaw.
Give me some mac and cheese.
I won't go past the registers.
Sorry, God.
Got it. Thank you.
Just don't put me back in the book section.
This is a bunch of malarkey. So,
I did go to the book section once at a Walmart. My one time at a Walmart, so I thought I could waste some time.
Harlequin romances.
Two books.
That's it.
One was Color Me Elmo, and the other one was Get Me the Fuck Out of Here, Elmo.
$4.95. Yeah,
yeah. Serves two. Eyes and breasts. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead, continue on. Weird. Carry on, my wayward son.
Yeah,
well, it's all in a name. In Jupiter, Florida, Cherry's Waffles Tennis was arrested.
Jesus Christ.
That is somebody's name?
But you know what?
It's her name.
Cherry's
Waffles Tennis.
You know who lives in Jupiter, Florida?
Nope.
The Burt Reynolds Theater Troupe.
The fact that you have that in your brain.
That is where Burt Reynolds lives, and that's where his home theater
is. Does she happen to work there?
She is the star.
Gainfully employed.
Gainfully employed.
I don't believe so.
Go ahead. Cherry's Waffles.
Cherry's Waffles Tennis. Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That when I saw
she
the
knows
name,
where the
I'm
coal.
Like,
well, her mom
on.
Knows where the coleslaw is.
After allegedly making fraudulent purchases at surf shops in Jupiter, Florida, because she looks like a surfer.
Fraudulent purchases.
Wait, read that again.
She's making fraudulent
after
purchases.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Malarkey. Making fraudulent purchases at surf shops in Jupiter, Florida, according to the Palm Beach Post. Police say Tennis, along with 19-year-old Vincent Mitchell, normal name, and 22-year-old Paul Miller, normal name, purchased a $400 spear gun.
Yep, Burt Reynolds, Jupiter Theater.
And GoPro camera with a credit card that ended up being declined. All three were booked into jail on fraud charges, but Tennis started getting the internet's attention on Thursday.
Like all of Tennis or just her?
Just no, it was
all she out of
her.
She was getting out of bounds.
Because, you know, it was the U.S. Open, so
that's a good
you got to be careful.
That's a good point. On Thursday, when her mugshot was posted...
Oh, she was netted.
...to the Florida Woman Twitter account with the caption, Florida woman's name, just random assortment of words.
Cherry Waffles Tennis.
Whatever Cherry's Waffles Tennis is an
that
awesome
is
name.
One of the funniest, just a random assortment of words.
It's just a random, but it's
spread lightly over a Ritz cracker.
$2.95.
Yeah, exactly. Serves two.
Serves two.
So there was a story, because that was just last week, there was a story that this led me to from August of last year with, and the fact that we didn't do this amazes me, Bizao, doo-doo, zoo, zoppity-bop, bop-bop, arrested again on more drug charges.
Wait a minute.
And you know that whoever had to do that booking ticket was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Not enough space.
I want to see the driver's license. Could you give me the full name again?
Bizao, doo-doo, zoppity-bop, bop-bop. Was arrested again on more drug charges.
Were they named by Bill Cosby?
that is literally the noise he makes when getting up from a chair.
Saxby Chambliss.
This one.
Malarkey Jones. All of it sounds like a nice Christian
just
name.
Just like to get some jello and go zappity boobity doo doo de bop. What the hell is
what
that?
What the fuck? I put a link to the Burt Reynolds Jupiter Theater.
Like oh, thank God.
On the page.
Somebody
you can all.
To go
I'm
going to
go there now.
The life of an actor.
His was a name change. I would say obviously, except sometimes not so obvious.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not. When you have Lamangelo and Jimangelo.
Ting Tang Walla Walla Bing Bang.
He was born Jeffrey Drew Wilchke in the suburbs of Chicago, but Zoppity Bop 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 legally changed his name in 2011. in January 2012.
And
Mr. Zoppity Bop 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 was arrested on charges of marijuana possession.
Mr. Zoppity Bop Bop Bop, you have the floor.
A concealed weapon and probation violation in Madison, Wisconsin.
The pot was not the surprise. The concealed weapon was a bit of a shocker.
He managed to stay out of the news for many months, but was arrested last month.
Because they didn't have enough typeset.
Yeah. I don't care if they arrested him. Just let him go. I'm not typing that.
Mr. Bop?
Mr.
Zoppity Bop Bop.
Mr. Random
Bop.
Words? Yeah. What is it? Random Words?
Assortment of words.
Assortment of words.
Then he was arrested in Washington County, Iowa, on charges including felony possession.
Now, how did he get to Iowa that stoned and armed?
Hitchhiker.
It's a hop, skip, and a zoppity bop.
And a zoppity bop.
And a bop.
It is. Did give us, though, the breakdown, and then I'll let you go on about the true meaning behind his patently ridiculous name. Here's the breakdown.
All right.
Bizow, the explosion of awareness of the interconnectedness of the infinite love of the universe.
Oh,
of course
thank
it is.
You. Yeah.
Of course it is.
Malarkey. Yeah.
Yeah. Bizow. Bizow. Be with you. Doo doo. The struggle
yep, got
of
that
our,
one.
But it's different than you might think, Malarkey. The struggle of our daily lives with that awareness, that with love comes chaos. That's not exactly what we think of when we hear doo doo, but okay. Zappity bop bop bop. The outcome of that struggle, which is often ironic, especially because all life ends in death. These are his. Despite his apparent interest in the infinite love of the universe, Zappity bop 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 is staunchly. This was the part that I thought was interesting. Against gay rights. We don't like Zappity Bop Bop Bop.
No, I didn't like him at the beginning.
I wasn't a fan, but then I became less of a fan of the bop.
But I today, like when, I like that he I have he has so no idea what irony or what is or how it should be properly used that he had to make up a whole nother language. Just
totally.
On the chance that he might get irony right, still failed.
You know, it's really sad because
Malarkey.
He's done that to his name, but his brother, Zippity Doo Dah,
yeah.
is fantastic.
A lovely person.
Yeah.
Well liked.
Yeah.
Unlike this one. Yeah.
Wonderful feeling, wonderful day.
Yeah.
It's all those things.
It's all there.
Well, the
what a beautiful morning.
We're not sure what happened to the infinite love with Mr. Zippity Doo Bop.
Well, ironically, it was finite.
For the games.
My God.
What's in a name, though?
Well, this...
The ironically named Infinity Found an End.
The danger of irony.
I love it.
Well, this story surfaced just after we got off the air. It seemed like last week, and I'm like, why wasn't this story in our deal? So I'm going to do it this week. Only to share it with those of you who don't. And
it's
I have
like
a
last week tonight.
And I have a picture to go with it. So an Arkansas woman, that's Arkansas in the right there in the middle of the United States, an Arkansas woman whose mugshot shows her in heavy aqua and maroon eyeshadow is accused of shoplifting $144 in makeup. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to show you that mugshot. It looks just like that. Police in Fayetteville, Arkansas arrested 31-year-old Brandy Allen, accusing her of stuffing handfuls of eyeshadow.
I feel like it's Brandy with an I.
No, it says Y in the deal.
Oh, all right.
But Allen is A-L-E-N. They accused her of stuffing handfuls of eyeshadow into her purse on Monday. This was last Monday. Officers said that after being confronted, Allen went on in a profanity-laced tirade and tried to damage makeup in the purse as she pulled it out of her purse so it would appear to be used. The Washington County Jail said...
Oh, I'm looking at her face and I think it's used.
Yeah, no kidding. And I'm thinking, if that's you stole $144 and that's all you could do?
Well, my thought was, you spent all that money on didn't spend any money at all on eyeshadow, but steal some powder, bitch. They're going to shine a light on you.
Well,
the
other cover up.
I mean, a matte finish goes a long way in a mugshot.
The Washington County
when they don't do it.
The Washington County Jail said Wednesday that Allen was released on $830 bond on charges of shoplifting and disorderly conduct and unbecoming aqua eyeshadow.
Unbecoming.
I added that.
Yeah.
Jailers did not have
her crime was unbecoming.
Jailers did not have a record of whether Allen had a lawyer. A telephone number could not be found for the woman from Fayetteville, Arkansas. Oh my God, that is just wrong.
It on way too many levels. First of all, it looks like the 80s threw up all over her.
Right.
Because,
oh, right.
I mean, there's a lot going on there.
She was captured by the cast of Dynasty.
And Culture Club.
But why? Yeah, well, really, when you look at this, why would... What is that?
Well, I would at least extend the pink into the middle to make the eyes pop.
Brush it together.
The blue.
Is that what Lancôme taught you how to do?
Lancôme didn't teach me to do nothing that you're showing me on that screen.
I agree about the powder.
Lancôme, you did used to have this fun, eyeshadow pencil that had like, it was like kaleidoscope. I don't know how you would describe that. Like rainbow sherbet. And when you did it,
you could spin it.
You just spun it across and you got like the streaks and it would do the highlight just right. So that if you lined it upright,
like a spirograph,
the dark part would catch the crease of your eye. And then you'd get the color. It was very 80s and sparkly and very wake me up before you go-go kind of thing.
Apparently.
Oh, I think that was more Karma Chameleon than wake me up.
I have
But wake me up was all that day glow makeup, remember?
Oh, that. No, that, But I'm just talking about the makeup that Boy George used to wear, which is a lot more.
Oh, this was meant for women.
Well, so was what so Boy George wears.
All right. Sure.
A happy love story.
We need those. No malarkey in this one?
There's no malarkey.
I have a love story, too.
Oh.
Well, not really love.
We don't want to rush into commitment.
It's a forced marriage story that I'm coming up with.
You go ahead. Exactly. There's
arranged
a shotgun.
Marriage
Yes. You go ahead.
We don't want to rush into commitment.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. But there is a photo here. It's a photo of the day of two women in their 90s that got hitched after 72 years.
I saw this. And they're in their wheelchairs.
Now, I hope that she's available with a handful of makeup to help them celebrate their lovely day. Yeah.
At 90, they don't really care.
Vivian Boyack, age 91, and Alice... They call her Noni. Age 90. They've been together for 72 years.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
And this weekend, they tied the knot. They'll get divorced next Wednesday.
Yeah.
As the reverend who performed the ceremony in Davenport, Iowa, which just floors me, being from the Midwest, that Iowa was one of the first. It floors me. Or were they the first?
Yeah, they were one of they weren't the first, but they were, because Massachusetts was first. Mm-hmm. They flew solo. They flew alone.
Anyway, this is a celebration of something that should have happened a very long time ago. What does it take to sustain a relationship since circa the middle of World War II? A lot of love and work, according to Boyack. We've had a good time.
Since the middle of World War II.
Can you imagine?
Look at those. I thought that was the sweetest.
That's a great picture.
I want to go back to when they bought their first TV.
What?
Well, you know what I mean? They got together in the 40s.
I saw something in the picture, and I'm like, what's happening?
They clearly were there for the invention of television.
So I wonder, since U-Haul started in the 70s, I'm wondering how they got together and how they moved around.
You do. That is a question. We call up Noni Dubes.
Can you do the name? What's it?
It's Dubes. D-U-B-E-S.
I didn't.
Dubes.
I like that she got Boyack right, but Dubes. No, I don't think you're going to fancy up Dubes in Iowa.
Oh, I don't know how...
It's Dubé.
Yeah, there's worse things in Iowa than being gay. One of them would be being foreign.
True.
That's almost...
She's gay, but she's American.
That's not malarkey. If she was a gay foreigner...
I love it.
Malarkey!
It'll never play in Iowa.
No.
Then don't show it to Iowa! Have I ever gone on that rant before?
Yeah, you have.
You might not want to have that bag in this airport.
That's a good point.
Just a guess.
If I ever bored you with that speech.
But I just thought that was very sweet.
It's very charming.
That is cute. I did see that. Very
Two
cute.
Two dry pussies.
Good for the...
Exactly.
Whitney Houston would be alive today.
It's a pussified nation.
Now, if somebody's going to tell us about lesbian bed death, it's going to be those two. Because 72 years.
They're already dead.
Well. How do you keep that fresh? Powder. I'm just guessing.
I don't want to talk about it.
There's enough feminine.
Nobody wants to talk
feminine
about
deodorant it. Spray in that.
FDS in bulk at Costco. Finally, in our headline segment.
What are you doing at Costco? You're 92 years old. How much mayonnaise do you think you need?
How long are you going to live, Marge?
Oh, my God.
Get more yogurt for the yeast infection.
I just saw that Joan Rivers joke the other day. What the fuck is an old person doing at Costco? You're 85 years old. How much mayonnaise do you think you're going to need?
In Joan's case, not much.
No.
Oh, my God.
No, that's very good.
That was one of the jokes that caught me completely off guard.
Why are you going to buy in bulk?
I never thought of
Marnie's girl, you really ought to give Iowa a try. No, thanks. You go. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
It's not a bad one.
I think it is on my list because I need to see all 50 states. So I have a feeling that Iowa's on the list of places I haven't been.
Well, why don't I take you to
Wouldn't
my...
you know? You're a savant. You know where you've been.
Yeah, but I'm never quite sure where Iowa moves.
So that's where my mom is from. Not really. Nope.
Iowa moves?
I swear to God. No. Sometimes Iowa's by Indiana. Sometimes
this
it's underneath
like
Wisconsin.
Tetris with the contingent 48. We just move them around.
Sometimes, it doesn't just become North Dakota.
And sometimes
something.
Wisconsin's a state. And sometimes it's a city in Minnesota.
No.
Or further South Dakota.
Right.
There's, yeah.
Where
There's that little band of states that I just kind of like, yeah, I don't know what you're doing.
I've been around there.
Yeah.
Where are you going? Mm-hmm. We're going to go to first, we're going to go to South Dakota, then further South Dakota. Works great.
I like it. So we'll go to where my mom grew up. Beautiful.
Further, sure.
Oh no, it'd be so fun.
No, I'm sure it's lovely.
Oh no,
because
it's a horseshit fucking town.
Even the most horrible places are lovely.
Oh, so it's a horseshit town.
But, full of malarkey.
So much malarkey.
As my sister would say, the thriving metropolis
of Eagle Grove, Iowa.
Like I was talking about the other night, if I could tolerate it and I had funds to do, I would go to Detroit and buy most of that fucking city because you can buy all of it for about 75 cents.
Sure.
And then I could mow all of it down and sell it for at least double my
Michigan's off the list. I've been there like two or three times during their heyday.
Oh,
so.
Ann Arbor.
I was so there during beautiful. The salad days. Because clearly I don't know what salad days means because I've used it twice
you
in
keep
completely
using it.
Different.
I don't know what
I've never heard that phrase before. What's salad days? Everything was
green.
Well,
clearly I don't know because I used it twice. I don't know if it means you're so poor you're eating a salad or life is so good you're enjoying a salad. But I love it's one of those things that the connotation eludes me.
Was this considered a salad? I'm too poor.
So I like to throw it out there in a very vague sense and make people wonder.
So,
and Marnie's girls have me go to Nebraska too.
When I Google it,
I do like corn though. So we got to go and we got to go. Whoa, something just beeped.
Oh, that was me. Exciting. Probably. Oh, it was me because I have Facebook.
My dildo's done. No. It just popped out.
Now, Salad Days first comes up as an Amazon book. Now, Wikipedia shows it as Salad Days being the expression. It's a Shakespearean idiomatic expression. There are certainly no widely agreed meaning, but the phrase has generally been used to refer to a youthful time accompanied by the inexperience, enthusiasm, idealism, innocence, and indiscretion. A lot of eyes that one associates with a young person.
The youthful days, your mm-hmm. springtime. All right.
Which also explains toss your salad. Because you only do it for the youthful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not doing it for Blatch and Marge over there.
Oh, no. No.
Toss your own, lady.
That's Hidden Acres.
Oh, that's and Puss don't want you anyway. You're fine.
See, now Tomo thinks it's rich, and I was never sure, but the reference to green makes the most sense from a Shakespearean point of view.
It's good and flourishing and young and healthy.
Flourishing and young and healthy.
Yeah, let's go with all that. That's good.
Final. So I was in Detroit during the salad days. And I went to, I can't remember where my aunt and uncle lived.
Their salad days are yours.
Well, both of ours, really. We enjoyed a salad
about
together.
About the same lineage.
Well.
But I met Tony the Tiger because I went to...
Thurl Ravenscroft?
What the fuck was that?
Wow, that's... Well, and we're done for tonight. No. Good night.
No. Okay, explain your story and I'll explain mine. You go ahead. Jesus, really?
Battle Creek, Michigan is where the Kellogg's plant was.
Right.
And, you know, as long as they were Union, that's where we spent all our vacations, was touring Union plants.
Of course, because your dad was with Nabisco. Mm-hmm.
So we went and saw how they made Frosted Flakes. And then if you went for the tour, you got your picture taken with Tony the Tiger.
Sure. Well, that sounds delightful.
Who I didn't realize had a proper Christian name, but I guess...
No.
I didn't know. I only knew him by his Salad Days name.
Stop it. No, so...
If you toss the salad with Tony the Tiger, I'm going to hurl.
It was rough.
No, so...
Great.
Y'all are killing me.
Tongues all kind of bristly at the end. Ow.
Malarkey.
Is that coleslaw?
Hang on.
We can't leave. I think they have coleslaw.
Why do you keep saying
I
that? No, so...
It's the stone people.
So, okay, you've got to know this because you know everything about movies. So Thurl Ravenscroft is the name of the guy who did Tony the Tiger's voice. They're great.
Oh, I did not know that.
He also was the guy who does the voice in the Haunted Mansion of Disney and so many other things.
I did realize when I was in the Haunted Mansion that it was Tony the Tiger because, you know, I do that with voices that I figured like.
Right. I did the same thing. I did the exact same thing. So Tony the Tiger's voice, let's see if it's going to play like I want it to play. Maybe it will. Maybe it will. We'll see.
Oh, hi, I'm Tony the Tiger. Got my one-man band here to help tell you about these great Kellogg Sugar Frosted Flakes.
That's him.
Okay, son, when I nod my head, hit it.
I wish I had that voice.
A one, a two, a three. Oh, no!
Anyway.
Let the man do the talking.
And that's so where you can tell he's the haunted house voice right there.
Here's a breakfast for you. Crisp, golden flakes.
And he's going to...
You can do that.
Oh, no. That, but he just... When they interview him, if you ever look up... there's a ton of videos on YouTube that Thurl Ravenscroft is in where he's interviewed about his long history of things. He's also... You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He is that.
Yeah. Sure. So when you...
And as soon as you say it, you hear like, oh, yeah, I hear the voice.
Yeah. So he is... he's that voice. So it's always been to me, I just been fascinated by the fact that that's the same voice of Tony the Tiger and so many other things that have to do with Disney. Because also on, when you go to Disneyland, which is still my goal to take my mom there because she's never been, when you get on the train, it says, all aboard, now leaving blah, blah, blah station. That's all him. And what they did is they replicated it. And everywhere in the world that there's a Disneyland with the train station, he does the voice of every single one of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
If you're going to spend that money, go to Disney World.
You're a mean one, Mr. Green.
That's so funny that it's the same voice. But somewhere in the world, I'll have to have my sister look around and find it because I know it's in the house somewhere. But and if memory serves, it's a factory in Detroit with a big lawn in front of it. And then just sitting all alone on a park bench, then all the picture needs is a white windowless van is Tony the Tiger with his arm around me. And I'm so, like, tiny and young that it seriously looks like a Chester the Molester picture. It looks like, I'm going to lure this kid into my van.
Want some candy, little boy?
Better Chester Cheetah.
At least that's how I remember the picture looking. Like I haven't seen it in years, so I got to have my sister
message
look for
her right now. Let's find the picture. I want to see it. I want to see the picture of you with Tony the Tiger.
But to me, it's like this big, empty expanse of lawn in front of the Kellogg's factory in Battle Creek, Michigan. But
Tony the Tiger.
I can't remember. Either they're in Kalamazoo and somebody was in Kalamazoo and somebody was in Battle Creek. I can't remember which. Either my aunt lived in one.
I believe, Kellogg's was in Battle Creek.
Battle Creek, yeah. But that was
because I remember that as a little kid.
Our summer vacations. And my sisters are nowhere near that. But I would love to see that. I had so many food phobias, I was impossible to feed as a child. But one of the things you could
you overcame that.
Oh, yeah. We are nothing but triumph since.
No malarkey. I beat anorexia.
Yeah, hands down.
That's no malarkey.
It gets better. And then a little worse.
Add butter.
If you can eat, $4.95. You can eat.
Serves everybody.
but Frosted Flakes is one of the few things that you could get me to eat.
I love Frosted Flakes. I totally did.
They are magically delicious.
They're great, apparently.
Yeah, all right. We have a name change.
Yeah, Molly changed your name to Ravenscroft. It's so 80s soap opera, you just have to. Mm-hmm. You must wear shoulder pads everywhere. I'm Molly Ravenscroft.
But the funny thing is, with every interview, and again, I have spent countless hours on YouTube watching so many things of him. When he was sitting on a park bench with this kid interviewing him in Disneyland. No. in Disneyland.
Didn't I just hear this?
And the kid interviews him, and that voice is just there all the time. Yeah. Everything he says is just like that. And I'm like, it's just... Why can't I just don't have that voice?
Yeah.
But I guess I could talk like this and annoy the rest of you for the rest of my life.
Like, yep, it worked.
Don Pardo, like, it's Saturday Night Live!
Oh, Holly Ravenscroft, that's good.
Oh.
There you go.
Let's get to our last story about forced love and marriage, and then we'll move on to
entertainment. I don't even know what the point of that story was.
What story?
I don't know, whatever we just finished. Did we just go from dry vaginas to Kellogg's?
Because they're right.
I don't even know what the segue was.
Swapping salad.
How did we get to that?
I don't know.
You were talking about old ladies getting married, and we went to...
But I feel like it was your turn.
Yeah, and I feel like there was something about salad.
But I don't... Oh, tossing salad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but how did we get
to tossing salad?
I don't know. We've lost all control.
We'll have to listen back.
Yeah. Maybe we're talking about their reception.
I would really like to know what the transition was.
Costco. Something about Costco and mayonnaise.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to work it out here.
Oh, okay. Did we start... We never left dry pussies?
I don't think so, because what do they have to go to Costco for?
Right. I don't know either.
Carry the one. Add it.
I've just lost track of whose turn it was.
It's mine. Mayonnaise makes salad dressing. Because
I always end the headline segment.
I do not know.
Let's forge ahead.
Where's that fucking pie chart?
Forging.
I have them. Don't make me bring them back.
I adore my accountant.
Well, an 18-year-old Indian girl, and that's Dot, not Feather.
Oh, there you go.
Reluctantly married a stray dog as a part of a tribal ritual designed to ward off evil spirits. Village elders believe that... I'm going to Try this name.
I wait for it.
Mangli Munda.
Oh, sure.
Was bringing bad luck to her community in a remote village of... It almost looks like Sharknado, but it's... It's
the lovely town of Fucktardia.
In the Jharkhand state. So they organized a wedding with a stray dog named Sheru.
What the fuck?
How the fuck did
now
they know?
Now you're just saying noises.
No. I swear to God.
This is not a story. This is just sound you're making.
No. Random words. What is it? Random names.
And a random assortment of words. like cookies in a tin.
So
in Battle Creek,
so Mangli Munda was bringing bad luck to the community. So she
lived
in Jharkhand State.
Shut the fuck up.
So they organized a wedding with a stray dog named Shiru. Now, what I'm guessing is they named the dog after they found it. Because if you're a stray dog, do you have a tag? Do you not know what your name is?
The tag says, I have this stupid name.
My name is Shiru.
The father went out in the village and found the dog.
I feel like I'm listening to some kind of Indian folk tale.
She was reluctant, but eventually gave in to her parents' wishes for the marriage.
Quote, plot to a Disney
to quote
movie.
Her in translation, I am not happy with this wedding. Muda said, I am marrying the dog because villagers believe that my evil spell will be passed on to the dog. Muda was then told by many others that they have gone through this ritual and have lived long, happy lives after they have passed the evil spell onto the dog. Now, her father, named Sri Anumanamidanda, there will be no problems in her life after she is married and goes to work for Intel as a customer service representative. I added that. Guests were confident that the ritual worked, and with the marriage not officially binding, Munda is now free to find a two-legged Mr. Right.
Oh, sweet.
Swear to God. Jesus. No paper to hand you. You just got to look good. You got to trust
me. They do not say I do. They say zappity bop bop.
You should have seen the look. There's a video. Yeah, right. There's a video online of the ceremony, and the dog does not look happy.
Dog is pissed.
They painted him with some sort of an ink.
The stray dog is like, what the fuck?
The lucky ones get run over.
The
dog run away.
I married this ugly bitch that's got some bad juju.
Okay, clearly we don't know where India is on the
doesn't matter. That's awesome, because you have to click. That's all.
Everybody.
I know you've never seen The Gods Must Be Crazy. But
I don't know what that is.
Oh, God, years ago. Like when I was little.
That's the first time I ever saw
like
it.
When I was little, my parents watched it.
He's talking and he's making it's not even possible for his mouth to be making those clicking noises. That's one of those movies that everyone in the theater was like trying to get their money back, and I was on the ground rolling around laughing at that movie.
That makes sense.
I might have been stoned.
Maybe. Allegedly.
But I was clearly their target audience.
That's no malarkey.
I got that joke.
Oh, sure.
They were after me. Yeah.
You were definitely their target audience. Mm-hmm.
You never know. God, it happens. Damn. Oh.
That was my new favorite story, Clayton.
Vanessa Williams does the songs.
Yes, right.
No, hey, I watch Big Bang Theory all the time now, and I gotta tell you, making fun of people's Indian accents is perfectly legitimate now.
Was somebody slamming for
it? Also, if anybody's listening from anywhere, we mock everyone.
Yeah. But
we do it with love.
With love, yes.
And the Intel thing was only just hopefully they get a job. That's really all that was for.
Well, now that the new little meme that I saw today was why did I have to press one for English when the person you translate me the person you translated transferred me to doesn't speak any either. That's wrong. Why did I press one for English when I don't understand the person you transferred me to?
I pressed English. Yeah.
Because I was on a call, though. I really did have to take a call one day, and I'm like, we both got to hang up because we are getting nowhere.
It's English, parenthetically, kinda.
Kinda.
All right. We're.
However you self-identify.
That is the end of our headline segment. We'll be back in just 35 seconds with Entertainment with Al Perkins.
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
This is the Hugh Talk America Radio Network.
Entertainment! I was kind of ready this time. We have some Broadway news. We have the Kennedy Center Honor. Nominees or honorees have been named.
I'm excited for that.
We have some other stuff. We have a big marriage. We have some sports stuff. We have a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. We have a very sad death to report today. And then a drinking word for next week.
Oh,
so we'll start with a very sad death today. And
I didn't know.
What I have to say was the greatest invention of, I've set it up until about 2 hours ago when I found out it died. The iPod, the classic iPod, was retired today with the announcement of the iPhone 6 and the new U2 album that I can't get.
Why?
It just hasn't been downloaded. Downloaded to his iTunes yet.
No, for some reason, it's been downloaded to the entire world but me. So I don't know. I'm doing something wrong.
Can you verify somebody else has got it?
Yeah, Tim just sent me. Tim was like, Tim works for Apple. And he's like, what new U2 song? I'm like, motherfucker, you work for Apple. Your whole day was about that press
Google it.
Announcement. Yeah. Apple it. So,
Apple it.
So when they announced the new iPhone, that's too big a phone, 6. And, that's way too big a phone, 6 special or
whatever.
Or however you say it in France, they retired the iPod, which I have to say was the greatest invention of my lifetime.
Wait a minute. What? Like, really? No more iPods?
Nope.
Seriously?
The classic iPod is gone. So I'm sure the Nanos are still available.
Calm down. I was freaking out because remember the big one that we both had, the big white thing with the big
dial?
That's gone. But regular, like the ones I've had in the past 2 or 3 years.
All gone.
Though I never use any of them because
just the
my
Nanos
phone.
Left.
Wow,
because they made they finally did what I asked all along, and they made the new iPhone you can get in 128. So, yeah.
Shut up.
Bye, Clayton.
That's correct.
It's getting in line right now.
I didn't realize it because, I've been so pissed. Well, you and I've had this conversation. This was inadvertently purchased with only 16, and I'm like,
I didn't know the kind of suffering I was living. That is malarkey.
There's 2 commercials and 5 pictures on this phone, and that's all I can do.
Oh.
Everything else is cloud and drives me crazy.
Mama Di, you're about to get a new... 16!
No, I told him, I said, he is not permitted to buy me a phone unless it's a minimum of 32. But what did you say that was? 100 what?
128.
My God! That's
dolphin lovers everywhere.
Chris,
just get excited.
Don't fuck them.
128 gig phone.
No,
nobody else knows really understands what that means. But my God,
those of us who have all our music and want to make a phone call have been waiting for this dream to come true.
With the phone,
and maybe take a picture when we're in Portugal or wherever the hell you're going.
I thought I was going to New Zealand with you, but I guess we're stopping off in Portugal because somebody got lost.
No, Portland or Puerto Vallarta, Puerto Rico.
P-words, malarkey.
Use your words.
Got it, damn it. All right, fuck you. Go
ahead. Irish swear words. I don't even know what malarkey means either. I think it's Irish for, is that beer?
Molly, no.
I'll Google it.
Let us know.
Google.
Right, so, Neil Patrick Harris and David Burka got married in the last couple days. The pictures were lovely. Neil Patrick Harris and his partner.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. In Italy?
Don't know. Didn't look
I think
the rest
they got
married
in Venice. I think that's where they got married.
Didn't bother to Google. Because I was really too depressed that I found out that Neil Patrick Harris wasn't marrying me. When I found it, I'm like, he's married and I'm still sitting here.
But they've been together 10 years.
Yeah.
So?
How early did you make the offer?
Well, it's true.
Point taken.
It's only I only proposed 3 years ago.
Well,
so
he was already in a committed.
And then we hope to lose the kids in the custody battle.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not going to be a stepmommy. Because that dog don't hunt.
And that's never worked out well in a movie.
Yeah. When you get custody of those 2 kids, you lose custody of me that weekend. How about that?
Yep. I'm a Tama. I saw her shit. He said it means BS.
Yeah.
Actually, when you Google it, it says noun, informal, meaningless talk or nonsense.
Nonsense. It's nonsense.
Nonsense.
So in Broadway news,
dun, dun, dun.
In the same season, which means Mama needs to work some overtime this weekend, Glenn Close returns to Broadway, and I do act. Because for the life of me, I cannot remember. What the fuck? I'm so lost on. Please, everyone, click on the link for Burt Reynolds Theater.
I did. It's a lovely Jupiter Theater.
Jupiter Theater.
Opened in 1979. The 28,000 square foot historic theater.
I was like, I do not need to write that down.
No, because it says it right here.
No, I meant what Glenn Close is returning to Broadway in. Because it's not All My Sons. A Delicate Balance. It's Edward Albee who wrote Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. It's his other great triumph. A Delicate Balance returns to Broadway with Glenn Close in one of the greatest roles ever written for a woman. And then, dun-da-da, also returning to Broadway the same fucking week. Hold on to it. Michael C. Hall, also known as Dexter, comes to Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Oh, you're kidding!
Singing and dancing.
Oh, that's downer, not dramatic. Sing dramatic.
Hedwig and the Angry Inch!
They both start with the D, I'm sorry.
No malarkey there.
I almost shit my pants.
Nice.
Because when we were standing in front of the theater that day, because the line was so large, they had to stop traffic to let him come out and greet people. And everyone threw out their names. Like, okay, this show is not going to close in August. Clearly someone's going to come out. No one came up with what's-his-face that's playing him now on Broadway. The guy from Book of Mormon. Cutie Patootie from New Normal.
The New Normal. Uh-huh.
No one came up with his name. But okay. The list of names. Mine was Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Dexter will be in this role by the end of this year. Hmm. And everyone was like, not Dexter. I'm like, Dexter did the MC in Cabaret, and I almost killed people that I didn't see it.
Okay.
And sure enough. So I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to take over from him. If the ticket sales go up, they're kind of bottoming out with, what's-his-face? They're not bottoming out, but they're very mid-level. Sure. He's not the
plateauing.
Name.
Plateauing.
But I think Dexter is going to bring it up, because everyone knows he's he was a big song and dance man, and he's got that huge. He has a cult following.
And what is the date range on that?
It's October something to January 4th. So if you need me January 2nd, I will be in New York City visiting my dear friends Glenn Close and Michael C. Hall. But he is.
I would love to go, but I don't think that's the time of year I want to go.
Oh no, no one does.
Because that story you told at my birthday party about how you're angry at people and you were. Their coat check cost you $40 bucks because you have four coats on. Fuck that.
Coats on. We were just telling stories of that. I usually go to New York. I fly out January 1st and then see shows that week because it's still, if you know your Christian calendar, you're still in the Advent, and that goes till the 5th. So the Christmas stuff can stay up logically till the 5th of January because you're still in the Advent. And the wise men don't reach the baby Jesus till January 5th, according to that calendar.
Malarkey.
Yeah, malarkey. But everything is still up, so you get to see the lights. The tourists have gone home. The shows are almost all at half price. It's a nice time to go. The problem is it went a couple years where it was, colder than the witch's tit. Yeah. I mean, it was just wrong.
Yeah. Maybe I should just clear my schedule, and I should do that with you. Just suffer through it with you.
Yeah. Right. You just bring a coat and run around. And
I have all my coats from the 80s in the closet right there.
And the best part is I know how to hide in doorways. Like, I taught everybody, I'm like, if we're running and I disappear, it means I'm hiding in a doorway because the wind
warming
has gotten too cold. Yeah.
That's right.
If I've acquired the bus in that time, we're not driving, right?
We are not driving across the country in January.
Oh, my God. No.
Well, I'm thinking we have a place to stay.
Yeah, no, yeah. We'll find a place.
Oh, yeah. I think you'll be okay.
I don't want to drive that far either.
So, and then there was a little bit of a brouhaha that I was on the side of the brouhahars, not the brouhaha-es.
I appreciate it.
There was a campaign, and I think it was only started because of Robin Williams, that there was a campaign to get them to dim the lights of Broadway for Joan Rivers. Uh-huh. And the Theater League, Theater League was like, yeah, not really. This is really not her milieu. Although she did star, she wrote one Broadway play, she starred in two, she does have a Tony Award nomination. And the thing that they were saying, it would be like Rosie O'Donnell, Rosie O'Donnell's actually been in more Broadway shows. Mm-hmm. But Rosie O'Donnell,
Grease being one of them,
is a huge
advocate
for Broadway. And Rosie really did help get Broadway back into the plus column in the late 90s.
Right.
But it turns out Joan Rivers was a big opening night person. She was a big champion of Broadway. Okay. So as well as her starring roles in Broadway Bound, Sally Marr, which they were saying she was thinking about. There was talk of a revival this fall of her and Sally Marr. And then something in the early part of the late part of the last century. So the Broadway League said no. There was some uproar. And then the theaters, it starts with a J, but they do Kinky Boots. They do the Book of Mormon. They have five theaters. They said that they would dim the lights if no one else would. This theater company, it's like the second biggest one after, like, I think they're like somewhere between the Niederlander family and the Schuberts. But they said they were definitely going to do it. And then Disney with Aladdin said that the Aladdin would dim its lights. So then that would make it 8 theaters dimming their lights. So then the
total of how many theaters are there?
Oh, there's 30 some.
Okay, so 8 is a small
number, but sure. It was one of those things where like enough people that finally the Broadway League, the theater league, said we will dim our lights tonight. So they did it at 6:45 tonight. But with all the other stuff in the news today, they nobody cut to it, which I thought was a little shocking as to how much attention.
Somebody has to have shot that footage.
Oh,
and
I'm sure they did.
And
then you're spread out, and then you got to find out like, do they do like the last one that died? Well, they did it for Robin Williams, which was really strange because he had.
That was going to be my question to you because
he had a live Broadway show, but his was like that was really sketchy. Like his was so sketchy that when they said Joan Rivers, I'm like, yes, she's not really a Broadway legend.
No, she's not a legend, but she at least was on the boards.
But at least, and thank you for using on the boards.
You're welcome. I am a theater person myself.
Well, God bless you for on the boards. That's not malarkey. So she was
hockey speak to me. Yeah.
But she was
against the boards.
She was at least. More of a player, but I thought she was a thin choice. And then I found out Robin Williams. I'm like, all right, we are playing fast and loose with the word Broadway legend here. Well, so I was like, turn him off. Like,
so, but what were the accolades that Robin Williams was given
none,
for Broadway?
That was
because of Aladdin. Only because of him being the genie in Aladdin.
No, but
Aladdin.
Not on Broadway. That's
not on Broadway. No. I understand. What I'm saying
Because he did some shows like Judy Garland at the Palace or Liza Minnelli at the Palace. You know, the Palace is actually a legit theater. Like things actually play at the Palace.
Right. No. Right.
From the Garland family.
Is the Palace even in New York?
Yeah, it's the Palace.
Oh, it is.
Theater.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So it was a very strange. The Robin Williams one was a huge stretch. So when they had dimmed them without protest and then kind of got a little shitty, I'm like, all right, now you're just playing ugly. And I think they got that message in one day.
Like, well, we gave it to somebody who had no reason to have it. We got to give it to somebody who was legitimately out here.
Yeah, that at least.
And was it, like you said, it was at every opening night. She'd go backstage. She'd talk to the cast.
Big,
I read all of that.
A big supporter.
Right.
So it was just one of those things where I'm like, wow, you played really fast and loose over there. And all of a sudden you're going to come down hard and just be dicks.
Yeah. Right.
It was a dick move. And I really liked. And I honestly feel like I wish she was one of our Googlers was here because. I am going to take the time.
I have the ability to Google.
Please Google who the theater was. That's the family that has the Book of Mormon and Kinky Boots. That was the ones that were going to dim the lights.
And
tonight.
You said it was something about the J.
It starts with a J. And I honestly cannot remember their names. Kat Carlson, Mindy. Oh, Kat, I'm sure we can bring back. Indian racist night.
Oh, I'm sure. We'll have curry. I like it. We'll make some food.
I've got to learn to like Indian food for friends.
Oh, I do enjoy that.
No, different. But hey, as long as we're there.
Not a feather.
Okay, so that's the back to Broadway. So then we go to the Kennedy Center Honors. Have announced their honorees. Of course, filmed in late November, early December, but, you know, aired as the greatest thing that a gay man can do with his mother during the Christmas season. And it is my second favorite TV show, third favorite TV show, fourth favorite TV show of the entire year, third. This year it's Lily Tomlin, Tom Hanks, Sting, Al Green, and ballerina Patricia McBride to receive the honors. Wow. That is a night of spectacular music and comedy.
I will be with you at your house in front of that. No. Yes, I'm on board.
I'm requesting that. Whatever that falls, I'm requesting that. I'm watching that when it airs.
Even if it's
clearly not live, but when it airs.
Right. No,
I'm just saying, like, it will be taped weeks, and they do some editing. They help out people that don't do well, as they did famously for whoever it was that fucked up the words to 9 to 5 during the Dolly Parton. I can't think of who it was that completely botched it, and they just cut her out of the tribute to Dolly Parton.
Oh, I don't even
to save her the shame
that.
Of like all of the Kennedy Center being like, really, bitch.
How do you not know those words?
Right, that's kind of what the audience pretty much booed her off the stage when she fucked it up. Oh, it was ugly.
You know what's funny is I didn't even realize how long ago was Dolly inducted.
Dolly was probably 4 or 5 years ago. Jessica Simpson. Just massacred it, but it got.
Wow.
But somebody had a camera and videotaped the whole
thing. So it's out there.
Oh, it's a train fucking wreck. But the
tumbled
people
out of bed and I stumbled to the kitchen. I pour myself a cup of ambition.
She tumbled out of the theater and stumbled in the audience. And These are like snooty snobs that are usually a very gracious audience.
Like, and, nope,
oh,
fuck you.
Oh, no. She did not come out of that well.
Oh, I know nothing about this. In fact, the funny thing is, I was just thinking the other day.
They offered her chicken.
Coleslaw. I was thinking the other day, I didn't realize that Dolly Parton had been inducted. Because I was literally thinking, oh, how fantastic would it be to have Dolly Parton.
Oh, it was Parton. One of the best
ones. I'll have to Google and look that up.
Oh, I didn't know definitely Google and watch. That was one of the best ones. And because they did all kinds of crazy shit with her music.
Oh, sure they did.
Crazy shit. Yeah. But I think the Lily Tomlin will be fun to see who they bring up. And she is now officially the first out lesbian to be
inducted.
With no, like, she will be sitting with her and her married partner. Like, they are now officially married. Mm-hmm. So, right. Jane Wagner, who we found out the other night while watching The Incredible Shrinking Woman, wrote The Incredible
Shrinking Woman. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She wrote the movie and they produced it together. All those jokes are Jane Wagner.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
Wow.
The Search for Intelligent Life in the Universe was written by the two of them, which, so you already fucking knew she was funny.
Sure.
So, like, when Lily Tomlin dies, she gets the lights dimmed because she has an impressive Broadway run.
Mm, yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
So, from your movie choice, and I think we talked about it last week, but I wasn't sure when I wrote this down. It was at the bottom of an old list, the top of a new list. But Love is Strange is opened. It's playing at the Camel View. It's playing across the country in limited release. It is Alfred Molina and 6'4" Broadway singer, Third Rock from the Sun. What the hell is his name?
John Lithgow
in the movie about the gay couple that come out, and he's a teacher that loses his job because he works for the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. It's just a beautiful, beautiful, well told movie. Little predictable ending,
sure,
but beautiful movie about the struggles of this couple that's been together for 40 years. Out proud, but then they all of a sudden lose the job.
The life changes.
Mm-hmm. And it's called Love is Strange. It is a beautiful movie. Let's see what. So where are we? Go ahead.
Your phone's gonna. I don't know how to pronounce it. I just need the text. Is that it? Is that the J word?
Yeah.
It said the five. Is it Jujamycin?
Jujamycin houses.
That's the Broadway theaters. The five of them that
that's why I did not want to touch that name without reading it. Okay. Yes, they do Kinky Boots. They do the Book of Mormon. They do A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. Like, they have three big Tony Award winners, and then they have two lesser shows. But they were like, "Fuck you, she's going down," because I guess she went down already. She was an early supporter of Gentleman's Guide. And she was a very early supporter of Kinky Boots.
Just to read the, interrupt you for a second and read the line, it says, 6:45 tonight, to honor the late Joan Rivers, along with previously reported five Jujamycin houses. The move comes after an online backlash on September 8th when the Broadway League announced that mainstream theaters would not dim their lights for the Tony nominee and longtime Broadway cheerleader.
Yeah, and a Tony nominee. So, like, as I said, like, you're not going too far to find a Broadway credit.
I think
she's a Tony Award nominee.
I loved Robin Williams, but now that I know what I know, you're right. That was a stretch to get him there.
Yeah,
a fantastic actor, and in the actors league,
right,
if you will, I get that. But for somebody who literally was front and center every opening night, met the cast, hung out, did what she did, I can see why. Aside the fact that she wrote one and was in one.
Right.
And a nominee. Why would you dispute that?
And during the lean years, and I'm 99%, I'm sure, but if you go on IBDB.com, I think her big return to Broadway was taking over in Broadway Bound, which, if you've never seen it or seen the movie or for some reason missed this show, it's the third part of the Brighton Beach Memoirs, Biloxi Blues. It's the third part of that trilogy about Neil Simon growing up. And it is one of the most heartbreakingly sentimental, beautiful plays. A lot of community theaters do it. It's one of those things that you do when you have a slightly older, really, really, really talented actress in your company, and you can get away with Broadway Bound. And it is a heartbreaking thing. And you can actually, somebody videotaped a big portion of her performance. And it's about an older woman whose dreams were of dancing with George Raft at when she was a dime a dance girl in a dance hall, and that George Raft actually comes in for a dance, or she dreams of dancing with George Raft, and she tells this heartbreaking story of, like, what true love was and what she settled for in Brighton Beach. And it's just one of the most beautiful plays ever written. After two really funny, sentimental plays, Brighton Beach Memoirs and Biloxi Blues. It goes into Broadway Bound, and you finally get the character of the mother. And Linda Lavin played it on Broadway originally, and absolutely a gorgeous, gorgeous play. Like, Neil Simon at his absolute best.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't there a Linda Lavin connection between Joan Rivers and Linda Lavin? I thought there was something where Linda Lavin had originated or assumed a role.
I think it's Broadway Bound, and I'm pretty sure
I read that recently. Well, obviously in the past probably week or so.
While we do the inner thing, I'll do.
We'll Google that.
Yeah.
It is the show. It is the end of hour two. Hour three coming, because that's how it goes. One, two, three. We have plenty to come. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. We'll make up shit. We have thoughtful vulgarity coming up a little bit later. Al still got entertainment stuff coming up. We have all these things happening. It's just Marnie, Al, and me. I'm Clayton McKee. It's Q Talk America and the show. Thank you for joining us in the chat room. We'll be back in just minutes right here on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. It is 9 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. This is the show. It's Q Talk America. I'm not sure what time it is where you are, but I'm sure you do know what time it is. We're just going to call it the top of the hour. How about that? It is a Tuesday night. You're in Studio C live with myself. I'm Clayton McKee, along with Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. Katie June has the night off as she's feeling under the weather, but she will be back in December.
She's not that sick, right?
No, but a programming note, Kat Carlson, who has been with us the past couple of weeks, will be joining us because Katie June is involved in our lovely political process right here locally, and her plate is really just way too full. She has a family, a wife, a daughter, and a political career. So we're going to give her the next couple of months off. Kat Carlson will fill in as she breaks away from her duties at a lesbian bar here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Her duties.
The...
Our fourth chair, like Buddy, Katie, Kat, we have such great luck with them.
Right. Wonderful. Like Buddy Early, I reached out to him. He was busy working his this evening editing job. He can't get out of. Barbara Seville had already made plans. Again, Kat Carlson was actually tonight filling in for another employee at the bar who was under the weather. So, but starting next Tuesday, we should be back on board. Kat Carlson joining us in studio live with sports and other stuff. Tonight, we're just going to make up shit because we don't really fucking care.
And there's tons more to talk about.
Oh, we have tons of shit.
We're going to return this right back over to Al Perkins. He's in the middle of entertainment, and we were just talking about Broadway. And did you Google what you were looking for?
Yes, and it was. Joan Rivers did take over for Linda Lavin in Broadway Bound.
So that makes Linda Lavin older than I think she is, or Joan started later. I'm not sure. I should look up Linda Lavin's age.
I can click on Linda Lavin and give you her date of birth, because IBDB is my second favorite thing. She was born in 37, so she's
76
four,
years
she's
old.
She's 4 years younger.
76, according to this. Wow.
Yes. And a wonderful singer.
I love... Mm-hmm. It's so funny to see... Now, if you Google her, you come up with a lot of pictures of her with white hair. She just did, and I think it was horrible that it was canceled. The Sean Hayes the series on NBC, because I thought it was so funny.
She really was.
She was on point. She looked fantastic. It was so fun to see her, and I think that series got canceled way before it had time to get its audience.
Oh, because
it was so funny, so funny. Anyway, but okay, so
Linda Lavin did win the Tony for Broadway Bound. I think anyone who plays that role just deserves a Tony, because I saw it on tour. I saw Biloxi Blues on Broadway with Jonathan Silverman playing Eugene, because the character of Eugene is Neil Simon going through the whole thing.
Okay.
But when I saw Broadway Bound on a tour, and I can't remember what actress I saw play it, but I remember like people just you're just weeping hearing her tell the story of like her dream of dancing with George Raft when she was a dancer in one of those, I can't remember what those clubs are called, the Dime a Dance Girls. But but not a hooker. She wasn't a hooker. They were the dance hall girls. They were just dance hall girls.
But you realize every time you say that, what I think of ain't even worth a dime a dance.
Oh, exactly.
That's exactly where I'm going.
And that's where she's coming from, is those old girls that were just
And I am not bored by you. I'm going to go top up my cocktail because we have an hour.
Yeah. So I mean, that's just one of the things. So then we'll get to what is clearly the the big entertainment news of the week. Let me make sure there's nothing else here. Oh, well, Sarah Gilbert is pregnant with Linda Perry, and very happy news. I'm not sure if they've announced, if they're saying who the father is.
I don't know. Another piece
of etiquette that I'm not sure, like as we're talking about gay marriages.
Sure.
And like friends of mine aren't doing the like, oh, we're not getting our license tomorrow and going down to the city hall. I now have a couple of friends that are like planning a year in advance and like sending out the invitations and doing like this whole wedding, which is the first I've experienced this. Everyone else I know has been like, oh, we went to Vegas and got married, or we went to the state where it was legal and got Vegas.
Well, Gina, now we're faced with
actual things like, what do you do for the bachelor party? Do you do the, because everybody has to make up their own traditions. So do you do them together? Do you do them separately?
Well, I'll tell you what, Target saves you a lot of money because you can buy both brides the one card.
Right, right.
It's great, yeah.
But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So everything, like, do you actually do? Because most of these people already live together, almost exclusively live together already before they make the decision to get married.
Well,
so what do you
Aaron
do?
And I are holding off.
So what? You know. But what do you do about a wedding shower? Right. And who is it? Is it for one? Is it for both? Who comes? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're forced with, like, the which side do you stand? You know,
where, which side am I sitting on?
So that's an interesting discussion that I've never thought about.
Yeah, that now that we're at this point, and so as I was visiting my friends earlier in the summer, and I'm like, why is this wedding so far away? And they're like, well, we don't see a need to rush, and we want everyone to be here, so we want to give them time. And I'm like, right, but now there's, like, now we have to add tradition to it. So, like, do I need to come out earlier for a shower? And who's throwing the shower? Is it your, you know, you don't have a brother, you have a brother. Is your brother throwing the shower? If he's throwing the shower, is it for your side? Is it for his side? Is it for both your side? And what do you get? Because you already live together, so you don't need living together.
You always need living together things. Always.
They don't.
Oh, they don't.
I've been to their house.
I'm telling you, we all need living. I got to build a garage for an RV. I have things that I got to think of.
And a bus.
A stripper pole. So, I mean, it's very odd to see things.
A stripper pole.
He mentioned it like three times. I wrote it down.
Ruben wants a
I love it.
Do you think I remember that?
So, it's just one of those things. So now with the pregnancy thing, as couples are using surrogates as they're getting donors, do you reveal the donor? Do you not reveal? I don't even know from like the regular world of how that works. Do you include them? Do you let people know?
I like it's the Price is Right. You go, and here's the Sarah.
But if you're Linda Perry and Sarah Gilbert, are you more picky? Do you designer shop for your sperm?
Maybe it's just David Crosby, like everybody's using.
Right. Do you go with like...
Sure.
And pray that he's got that much talent?
I am so sorry, but if you're if you're a famous lesbian and the lady that's on the talk...
who formerly was on Roseanne.
Right. But, and she, you know, she is the executive producer. She is the Barbara Walters of the talk. Like, in case you didn't know that, the talk is Sarah Gilbert.
I did not know that.
That is her baby. Yeah. She is the executive producer. That was her idea. She did that was her way to get a job because of her ex-wife. Because the woman she was married to previously, that was their way to have a child together, was that she could have a early morning job that she could go to that was wife friendly. That was the whole point to that, was to get her a wife.
Why do you know these things? What do you read? Where do you get that?
Everything. Like, you know me.
God damn it. Is that Entertainment Weekly? Is that where you get that?
Some of it's Entertainment Weekly and some of it's just IMDb, IDBD.
Because I'm like, that is... that's almost like stalker information.
It is.
Okay.
Kind of.
But there you go. So
malarkey.
Malarkey.
And there's a wonderful TV show coming out in September.
Stalker.
Or early October called Stalker.
Yeah.
That looks really fucking good.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm writing that in all caps on my notepad.
And I have to tell you, I am not the creative consultant, so there may be some plot holes.
There's some inconsistencies.
So you should write them a letter.
I'm just wondering, like, how do you announce that? Like,
well, I don't think that it matters about gay or straight. Like, people just, that's a personal choice that somebody's going
to
make.
But if you're a powerful lesbian and Sarah Gilbert, don't you just get Matt Boner to whack off into a cup and have his baby?
I kind of get, because he's really not good looking, but I really kind of get the whole Melissa Etheridge going to David Crosby. I mean, can you imagine the talent?
But
get Mario Lopez to do something in a cup for me?
Well, he can dance. Now, I've seen Mario Lopez dance. He can dance.
Beautiful.
And he's very friendly. But Matt Boner.
I don't know who that is.
Yes, you do.
Why? Yeah.
I'll Google it.
Yeah, you do.
Quite possibly the most beautiful person alive. Yeah. He sings, he dances, yeah. he acts, he takes his clothes off randomly.
Matt Bomer.
Yeah.
Not Boner.
He always calls him Matt Boner.
Totally. Got it. Yeah. All right. Nope. Okay. We're on board.
Well, I've seen him, so guess what's happening.
He's a decent looking guy. Is he on?
He's a decent. Oh, shut the fuck up.
He was,
no, he shut the
he was on
up.
Glee. He's on
Glee. He was on Glee for like a hot second.
He looks like he's on Mad Men.
No, but I mean like a couple times.
And they didn't let him sing.
Was he on Mad
Men? No.
Blue collar.
He was in Magic Mike, apparently, according to Google. Oh,
yes, but he's very small compared to all the guys in Magic Mike. He was like
the little brother,
the little elf. Doily. Like all of a sudden, his fantastic body just looked.
Oh, but here's his boyfriend. Well, never mind. We're good.
Oh no, Matt Boner is one of the most beautiful men alive. Boner. All right, so then the big
Coleslaw.
The big entertainment news, and we kind of hit on it last week because we knew it was coming, yeah. But the death of just one of the greatest icons of comedy, of gaydom, of just about anything you can think of, QVC, shitty shopping, she was the queen of all of it.
Did you watch did I post that on your page, the tribute that QVC did for her?
No.
Well, why would you not? She put QVC on the map.
They did like a 2 or 3 minute little thing.
And it crashed. The first one they put up, because QVC is more popular than anything else on the human fucking planet.
They'll ship shit directly to you.
I shit my pants. They
literally right now.
They
so
shut
convenient.
Down that thing shut down the internet because 4-year-old gay kids and 80-year-old women were all logging onto the same thing.
Yes,
they had to reboot it. They shut down the internet with the QVC tribute
to Joan Rivers. It's like 2.5 minutes, but it's so cute. It shows her, she's dancing at one point, she's walking into shots, she's doing things. It is so
and it's
charming.
All QVC. They don't have to go anywhere else to find funny things. Sure. She's just talking shitty jewelry and clothes and absolutely hysterical for 2 minutes.
At one point, she changes into a red shirt, something to do with a breakup. I'm not sure what it was, but
it's
adorable.
It really is. It's a lot of fun.
It's adorable. So, now, in regards to her, actually, where are you going? Continue.
No. Anywhere you want to.
I was. The service, and I'm not telling you anything you can't Google and find out. The service was...
Spoiler alert, she's dead.
She's still dead.
Guess who's in the box?
Yeah. No, actually, who's in the urn? Because she was. They actually sent her to Auschwitz.
Oh, yeah, they burned her on Saturday.
Which is...
Sunday.
I think it's so weird to think that, you know, the Jews getting cremated. I think there's some irony in that somewhere.
Well, it's not part of the plan.
No, it's not. It's just a wooden box.
I just think it's funny because she even made jokes about it. If she was at Auschwitz, she'd be making jokes about fire to try to alleviate the stress.
Yes, yeah.
But one of the things that I think is funny or not funny was when the service started, it was all of this solemnness and all of this pageantry that they all did, yada, yada, yada. And then Howard Stern goes up. And Howard Stern starts the eulogy by saying, Joan Rivers had a dry vagina.
No, dry pussy.
Dry pussy.
Which, depending on where you read it from, sure. It's either way.
That's what made
same
me
word.
Laugh.
No, he said pussy.
Right, well, I'm sure he did. But what I had read, there were two different versions of the same context. Sure. It was just one was with one word, one was with another. And he goes through the whole thing. And Joan said that had Whitney Houston had a dry pussy, she'd be alive today.
That's right.
So she got in the bathtub. Her pussy was like a sponge. It was so dry, it would suck up a bathtub full of water.
And I thought that was so funny. And it broke all the ice of the whole thing.
Because everybody was like, did he
just say that?
He did.
And then I guess somebody reminded him that Cooper was in. Cooper was there, her grandson.
Right.
If Cooper doesn't know by anything that Joan might have ever said around him,
right,
I think Cooper's fine.
Because if Cooper hadn't taken the... Well, he's 13, so first off, he's on porn. But after he's done with the porn, he probably Googles, what did grandma say? You know what I mean? Like,
who is this bitch that runs around with all this makeup on?
Monster. What did he call her? Monster face or something like that? You know, really? She at one interview, she said what he calls her, and it's like monster face or something crazy. I haven't been in the chat room in ages.
It's still here.
And Melissa asked him to deliver the eulogy. So that, you know, Howard Stern was like, oh, my God.
Can you imagine the pressure?
Yeah.
Of that, and I don't know who, if he just wrote that himself or what he did.
He consulted with Louis C.K. He told Stern that she deserved a great send off.
One of the big snubs that they mentioned for the Emmys this year, it didn't get a lot of play, was Nana Newface. It was not a new face.
Not a new face. Thank you, Molly.
Oh, no, I can't remember. And it didn't get a lot of press because Louis got so many nominations, but she did not get best. She didn't get nominated for best guest actress in a comedy series. Again, one of the things that they said in Gold Derby before she ever got sick was that her part wasn't particularly funny, and it was more of a dramatic part in a comedy series, and that Louis C.K. kept that show keeps treading the line that they don't know what to do with people. But that her role in that is another great thing, and you can Google most of that scene. It's pretty much all over the internet.
Where
she talks about we're all put on this earth for a certain reason.
Yeah, that was the scene that was at the not Emmys, the awards that were just on.
The Emmys were just on.
Yeah, was it the Emmys that they kept showing that clip?
No, they've just been showing it on the news because it was a real recent.
When Louis C.K. won, whenever he was nominated, that's what they showed. Clip.
But he won.
That was the Emmys.
No, but he won for the episode about but what about the fat girl or whatever it's called? And I'm not sure if Joan Rivers is in the episode about the fat girl, but I think the one that they won everything for, and the girl who plays the fat girl wasn't nominated either, which everyone was kind of like,
what the hell?
Is the scene where she talks to Louis C.K., where she says...
That's from the show Louis.
Okay, but my question is that a scene where it's just them talking, or was that a staged scene?
She's kind of, no, it's a scripted scene where she's kind of playing...
I thought that was just them having a conversation.
No, Louis is very much like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh,
it's very like Ramona Clef, where you're kind of like in... Like, you don't know if they're playing themselves or playing, like, a version of themselves.
Okay.
And she was a little bit playing a version of herself, but it was very serious.
She's like an older comic being asked about things.
But no, she's being Joan Rivers, but she's being, like, you know, kind of like on the show Episodes. Like, Matt LeBlanc is playing Matt LeBlanc, but he's playing, like... I don't know. It's that new meta thing that everybody's doing.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Where
you're not playing you, but you're playing like a hyper.
A version
of yourself that like maybe is a little nastier, a little meaner.
Okay.
Because that's what Louis is basically doing. Louis is playing himself, but he's playing a different, like a stylized version of himself. If that's the way.
Right.
So people guest star on there and they play themselves, but then he makes, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm, but he makes them out to be assholes.
I don't know if you had, if you guys had read this, but I had found this. Late last week, whatever, that Joan Rivers got to Broadway, as far as the Broadway stuff, because of Ray Bolger.
Oh, what a weird connection.
I know, right?
Wow. For those of you who aren't paying attention, Ray Bolger played the Scarecrow in Wizard of Oz.
And he was the grandfather on Partridge Family?
I don't know enough about Partridge Family to even tell you that.
Really?
I'm 99%
well,
sure.
Well, goddamn. Please look that up, because I loved that show. Anyway, her school group saw a matinee one day in 1948, and they were invited backstage. Bolger, as Joan mentioned in theater talk, said that Bolger liked to meet the kids. Ray Bolger would take the children
Grandpa
backstage.
Fred.
Nice.
Okay.
Thanks.
Got it.
And give him a tour of the theater. And so she said that she found out that was like her temple. Just being back there. And
so Ray Bolger, I love those kind of connections. That's why I watch biography on Annie so many times, because even if I don't care about the individual, I'll find out the connections between them and everything else. I had no clue. And you said, what year was that, 48?
That was 1948.
Uh-huh. And she did an off
9 years after he did Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Off Broadway show with Barbara Streisand when she still had the other A in her name and... Joan was Joan Minsky, or whatever Joan's real name was.
Yeah, sounds
right.
They had done an off Broadway show together, and it was their first thing. Barbara was 17, and Joan was in her very early 30s, late 20s, early 30s. 42, 33. They were like 11 years apart, so Joan would have been like 28 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was one of her first acting gigs. And Joan had just recently talked about it, and she was like, I don't even know if Barbara knows that. Even knows that was me.
Oh,
it was so long ago. And then when she died, Barbara put in her tweet about her death that said, I knew exactly who Joan Minsky was. She's like, I've known all along who I worked with.
Wow, that's very cool.
From what I understand, they never professionally never crossed paths again. Like at different events, they'd seen each other and been polite, but had never talked about the fact that like
They actually were on stage
when
together.
I was a snot-nosed high school kid, and you were, you know, just getting off the couch.
Wow.
We did a shitty off Broadway play. So just wow. Very weird things. But it's been so, like, the visceral reaction from all of us in the gay community as we're all talking to each other and, like, how personally we all took this and, like, the legend and kind of, like, it was, I think when all of us think of, like, big stars dying, this one, like, I have down that she was never even on a death watch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She was 83 years old. We never even considered her as someone that might even get ill. Anyone, whatever. What
still.
I say?
No, but still, we never even.
I was taken aback with.
Why are you all saying anyone to me?
81.
81. Not 83.
Oh, whatever.
81. No, one of the things that
I thought you were saying anyone.
I know, it's like, what Bueller.
You said, you know, everybody kind of took this a little more personal. I was kind of taken aback personally with the fact that it really affected me from the standpoint of, A, not only have I never been on this earth without her, and she's always been around in some facet, but I really was struck by that Melissa and I are the same age. If I think we're like a year, maybe a whatever apart.
You're similar in age, right? Yeah.
But I was really taken. And as everybody gets older, I mean, you've unfortunately already been through this. I was really taken by. I really felt bad for Melissa.
Totally.
Joan was fine. Joan's like, I'm ready to. I can go at any time. Nobody would say it was too soon. Yada yada yada.
And I think it's very comforting to have that. That on tape. Like, I had a good life. Like, right. I'm good.
And you're fine, and you're a great mother and all that. I get that. But I really was like, I feel for Melissa. And that was part of every time I would watch any of those things. And I told my mom that. I'm like, I'm not ready for you to go and buy a, let's, can you go longer than 81? How long can
let's
you
get
go?
Let's get you to a doctor. Let's get some checkups.
Right. My mother, doctor's appointment last week, everything perfectly fine.
Good.
Everything is
of
perfectly fine.
Of course it is. Yeah, she's in
she just
shape.
Had that it's checkup. Wonderful. But it was, I literally, as I'm getting of a man of a certain age, 45 if you haven't listened earlier, I still think, I'm like, I felt bad for Melissa. I'm like, her entire life, that's been her best friend, her mentor, who's taught her so much, and she's been through so much with her mom, and all of a sudden, boom, lights out, it's over. Now you're on your own. Mm-hmm. And that was almost a slap in the face for me.
And that really is the whole world, because the sister died in the last year. Joan's sister had just recently died.
I didn't even know she had a sister.
It was a big loss. They were very close. And so now,
how much younger? I'm going to assume younger.
They were very close in age. I want to say her sister was either like 1 year younger or 1 year older. It was just when it wasn't that long ago.
I remember seeing a blip about it.
Yeah, it wasn't very long ago, and that she was very, very hurt by that, and like did a brave face thing. Just one of the funniest women alive. And like we were at breakfast the other morning, and we seriously spent a good 20 minutes after the food was done just going through Joan Rivers jokes.
Sure.
But the one thing that I took from it, and someone put it on a tribute to her page, the Emmy show.
Barbara Cushman Waxler? That's her sister?
Yeah, and when did she die?
Sounds right, yeah.
I'm just looking. Hang on. Continue on.
So
the Barbara, I remember.
She did the Emmy show the Monday before the surgery, the Monday or Tuesday, the Fashion Police.
Mm-hmm.
It was Tuesday. So she did Tuesday night. She filmed a 90-minute Fashion Police on the Emmys and the VMAs, and because of one dress during the Emmys, I just went through my TV guide and I'm like, I have got to find out. Like, I like this dress, but I know it's horrible.
Right.
So I just need to find out what Joan, and I haven't taped a Fashion Police. I tape it after the Oscars, but and I never tape it after the Emmys, but I'm like, I need to hear the joke about this dress because there is no way they're not going to bring it up. And sure enough, they did.
Right.
The episode was funny enough that I watched it with Michael and we were putting on Facebook her jokes. She was funny 2 days before she crashed for me to be texting. And then she did a full set the night before. Like, you can't ask for anything better than practically died on stage. Like, as close as you
can. That's, well, that's what she wanted.
And
she wanted
to. Remember that she showed her book, her calendar.
Yeah.
And said, this is fear. This is fear. This is what I'm afraid of.
This means nobody loves
to
me.
To wear sunglasses. Yeah. So, I mean, to work right up into the last day. And from what everyone
really
said, the set was amazing. Like, everyone and it was another shitty New York club that she did not need to do.
Right.
She was just trying out new jokes. So,
And Aaron said that there was something about that she would pay everyone who sent her jokes. like $10. If she tried them, whether they worked or whether they didn't, she would send them money for their jokes.
Well, she famously sued,
which I thought was brilliant.
She sued Frank Marino.
Frank Marino for $3
million. $3 million.
And he famously says he was a few bucks short.
Yeah, but when they worked it out, and like, and her thing was, we all get paid. Like, if you're going to use my jokes, then we all get paid for this. Like, I worked hard for those
jokes.
Well,
I guess what part of the deal was, and I'm by no means, I mean, I've known Frank for 21 years, and I knew about all this, but I haven't researched the whole thing. I don't know what the deal was, but apparently the whole lawsuit came from, she was doing a show, I think at Caesar's Palace, and he was already doing La Cage at the Riviera, and again, doing her shtick, but she's in Vegas, and he's doing the same shtick she's doing. So he's like, she's like, fuck you. No, they're going to come see me, not you.
Right.
And that was where that came from. But then later on,
we all have to make money off of it.
Yeah.
And her thing was, you make your money, I'll make my money. But those are my jokes.
Right. So
we're all going to profit off this. So however you work it out, I get paid for it.
Right.
She was very she was not losing a dollar to somebody else down the street.
No, because like she said, she was desperate. She was broke. She had so many ups and downs.
Oh, and this was when she was very rich. She did not need to sue him.
Oh, she didn't really.
No, she was not broke. She was the headliner at Caesar's.
She was very shrewd.
She was just shrewd and just saying, like, you're not stealing. I don't care who you are, but you're not getting famous off my back. We're paying each other.
That's right.
And you can perpetuate it and keep Joan Rivers in Vegas when I'm not there. But there was a financial agreement made. Yeah. If he was going to do Joan Rivers at
the Riviera,
then Joan Rivers gets paid for being at the Riviera. So somehow it was worked. The money was worked out. And he did not use her jokes for free. At all. That was not going down. Like, you're not stealing. And when she says, when you see her in front of that card catalog and she says, I have my jokes written down for the last 30 years, she's been a comic for 50. Mm-hmm. She wrote those jokes down to sue Frank Marino.
Oh.
Those jokes are card cataloged. These are mine, bitch.
Oh.
You steal it, I'm going to show you the card catalog where I wrote it down.
That
was not a nice lawsuit. It ended very amicably, and they ended up working together very nicely.
And they were friends for many years.
Let me tell you, when
that
witch came to the door, there was going to be a couple dead kids. Like, she was eating those kids, and they were going in the oven. Like, bitch.
I would love to go to Vegas with you and let's corner Frank.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. She spanked a gay guy on that one, and she spanked him hard. And but they ended up very friendly and very getting along very nicely.
But I wonder,
she let him know that there's no free tickets in this town.
Doing that.
Part of that obviously was Frank, but
prime ribs $3.99. I'm not
the buffet
is one. Bitch.
And the buffet is free, but just stay at the slots.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, was it Albert Nover, the one who owned La Cage. I'm sure that was part of the lawsuit. It was him, too, because it wasn't just Frank. It was the owners who actually owned La Cage. Because now he's free, and he's his own person. He's no longer part of anything. He owns all of that.
It was very hard to find because there was no internet when that went on, but I followed that really closely because I didn't like La Cage. My parents took me to see Boylesque at the Silver Slipper.
Kenny Kerr.
And Kenny Kerr stole a lot from, he didn't do it in the style of, but he stole from Eartha Kitt. And I think just because of Kenny Kerr and Boylesque that I just paid attention to that. Like, because to me, I didn't know Eartha Kitt as well as I knew Joan Rivers.
Joan was in your living room more.
So when I was like, I don't get this Boylesque thing. Like, I can just go home and listen. Like, I don't need to come watch some fucking drag queen do Joan Rivers jokes. Joan Rivers is funnier.
Sure.
But I didn't know Eartha Kitt, so I didn't get all the I thought that was new and fresh. I was new and fresh. But so I'm sure it's on the internet now, but I remember reading about it at the time, and like,
that was
Hard Knocks.
It would probably be difficult for you, but I would love to take you to Vegas. In fact, maybe.
Oh, I've seen him many times since.
And see, because they're in the new theater at the Quad, and they do Divas Live, and it's all, he owns all of it. And it runs so much more smooth being Divas Live than it was as La Cage, because La Cage was, back in the day, technology was different. Now the beauty is they take modules out and plug people in, whereas La Cage was, this is the tape we're using, and we're using it for 6 fucking months, and you have to do your. Regardless, somebody has to do that number.
Oh, yeah.
And now they take it out and they can change easily character for character. So if for whatever reason, if Kenneth Blake can't do Dolly and Madonna, they just take out his segment and they pop somebody else in.
Oh, Boylesque was just light, fun drag show. Like, they were not serious.
No, they're very.
And it was so interacting with the crowd. And this was, and you know, you know how old I am. Like, I was in Vegas back in the salad days. Like, Frank Sinatra was literally still alive,
still
playing.
Working across like, the street.
Still playing and still singing New York, New York. So, I mean, the Silver Slipper was literally still rotating on the slip when I, on the strip when I saw that show. It was in your face, old people. There was me at 19 years old, and the rest of the crowd was 80.
Right.
Like, there was no one middle-aged or young. So these drag queens coming out and doing, like, with your champagne taste and with my champagne, your beer bottle pocket, and all these jokes and, like, sitting on men's laps, and they just ate it up because they were like, they had never seen a drag. They didn't even know enough to be offended yet. Like, they just did not know what they were watching. And, like, the drag queens would walk around inviting people in the show, and you would just show up at this shitty show. And it was shitty, but it was really funny. And, like,
the room that they had at the Riviera was atrocious because it was all very.
This place had a revolving silver slipper. Can you imagine how shitty that room was?
The Riviera. But the room.
Oh,
in the,
my God, that's awesome.
The room in the Riv. When I went to Vegas in 93 and I met Frank and the entire cast back after I did the Maury Povich show. It was atrocious because it was 1982. It was zebra print. Everything was horrible. They had mannequins on the wall, and it's very, very. The showroom is very different now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a showroom. Don't get me wrong. It's Vegas, but it's not tacky like it was. Sure. They let that tacky run from, like, when they did that from the early 80s. That was the exact same showroom. They never changed it ever. Ever changed it.
They had a thing in here from Joan. It says, the trouble with me is I make jokes too often, she said last year, just days after the death of her elder sister. I was making jokes yesterday at the funeral home. That's how I get through it. That's how I get through life. Life is so difficult. Everybody's been through something, but you laugh at it, it becomes smaller. Upon announcing her death, the comedian's daughter, Melissa, said her mother's greatest joy was to make people laugh.
Right.
Although this is difficult to do right now, I know her final wish would be that we all return to laughing soon. But I mean...
Agreed.
How do we not relate to that?
Oh, my God. You were like 20 minutes into a... Not even 20 minutes. 20 seconds into a clip honoring her, and you were like already laughing like, oh, my God, I forgot about that.
Well, and not just that, but I mean, how... Just taking her kind of out of this for a second, do we not deal with things that way?
Well, she even said
I mean,
do
personally
everything.
I try everything,
but
everything.
She there's that clip of her from the documentary that I haven't seen in its entirety called A Piece of Work, where she addresses the heckler who says, I have a deaf son, it's not funny. And she's like, I had a deaf mother, this is funny.
And none of us know if that's true. We all want to know if that's true. If it's not, it's
totally
quick.
I don't think it's true at all, but anyway, because I never heard her say it. But she even says 9/11. How the hell would we have ever gotten through any of this without some level of humor? Though it was a tragedy, you've got to find something to laugh.
Immediately.
Otherwise, what would you just go fucking stir crazy? You just go nuts. You would absolutely do it. I get that.
Yep.
And that's absolutely. I mean, of a sad time. Like, we were. There was a family wedding, a couple. Like, the summer of 93, and I had bought, like, I had a nice tie, and I had got the nice suit, and I had gotten this really nice tie that I really, really liked. And there was something about this tie that and I don't like ties, and I never wear them.
I've only seen you in one once in our 20 years of friendship.
And I loved this tie. And I ended up, like, getting drunk and hanging out with the people in the wedding and going somewhere where I wasn't supposed to go. And I kind of knew where the tie ended up. And so this very close friend of my mom's...
Took the tie off? What the hell?
Yeah. This very close friend of my mom's, I'm like, it's in your apartment. And I called her because I was going to be home for the rest of the week. And I'm like, if you find that tie, can you just get it back to me? Like, I really don't like ties, but I really like this tie. And she was like, no, I haven't seen it. And so then at Christmas time came around and I was home. And I'm like, I told my mom, like, if you see Nancy, not my sister Nancy, but this other Nancy, I'm like, can you just ask her if... In her apartment is this tie, because I know it's there, and I wanted to wear it for... I was going to church that particular trip with my mom. And my mom,
voluntarily?
And I brought the suit back. Oh, no, I looked Christmas Eve with my mom. That's the easiest get to get me into a church.
Oh,
because they used to do a candlelight silent night where everybody lights the candles and you sing Silent Night with the choir. It's beautiful.
Okay.
In a church built in the 1800s. You can't lose.
Okay. Yeah.
So my mom was all excited that I had brought a suit to wear to church, and she just needed the tie to, like, complete the ensemble. So she makes the phone call. Nothing happens. My father dies in January. So we're in the limo. We're pulling up to the church.
I realize I've heard the story.
And this woman, Nancy, and her boyfriend, who we were very close with, they come to open up the door of the limo to help my mom out, and I see through the glass. I'm like, there's the fucking tie. Hasn't seen it, huh? And now it's on her boyfriend at my father's funeral. Right. So the limo door opens. Jesus. My mom, me and my sisters, and my brother-in-law are like laughing our asses off because everyone's trying to like give us a moment because they see the startled look on our faces and they think we're shocked that someone's right. opened
it's
the door.
It's because you see the tie.
And so then the door opens and everyone thinks that my mom is like so hysterical that she can't even get out of the car. So everyone like kind of drops her eyes. And it's because she's laughing.
Right.
She's like laughing her ass off getting out of the limo because she can't look at the tie. And she's got her head down, and all of us get that. Out like, "Don't laugh, don't laugh."
Right.
And we just
be respectful,
right? And then of course, like we get through the service, and it was awful. And they tell us like nothing can go on because the ground is too frozen,
right?
Where it's an ice storm, so we're just gonna stand in this room, and there will be no graveside thing because more people will die because it's so cold.
Good for business.
So we go to this complete non-event that we're like, why the fuck are we here if they're not going to do anything? Like, we could have just avoided this whole thing and gone to the restaurant. So we're freezing to death. We get back in the car, and my sister goes, if you run 2-3 yellow lights on the way to this next function, we are going to be great. And that was it. We just left. And we ended, like, you can only stay sad for so long. Like,
she's not coming back, or he's not coming either. Whatever.
Right.
You got to move on.
Nothing's coming back.
You got to move on.
And luckily, and I have that. Like everyone does. Like when things are just down, like you can either be really pissed off or really sad, or you can just find the most inappropriate thing to laugh at. And Howard Stern, she had a really dry pussy. That's a funeral I want to go to.
That's an icebreaker. That is an icebreaker right there.
Because you're remembering a funny woman. Why would you want to be sad?
No, let's just clarify for those listening and who haven't heard the story. And I have heard it before, but I had forgotten it. Get the tie back?
Nope.
Nope? Oh!
Because we enjoyed him having it. Yeah. Him having the tie broke such an uncomfortable moment in that car that we're like, it's a gift. Never even brought it up.
Right.
Oh, and then the other thing that made us all laugh was I always wore this black washable silk jacket. It was after I got rid of the trench coat, the dollar trench coat that my mother probably had like mobsters come out and get rid of. I used to wear this black silk jacket, and it had a pink triangle pin that had transferred from the trench coat to the black silk jacket. And I thought, ooh, pink triangle, that's funny. I didn't know anything about the Holocaust. I had no idea. I wore it for like 2 solid years without knowing what a pink triangle meant.
No.
And then somebody was like, oh my God, that's so offensive. I'm like, why? It's a pink triangle. It's on a white background. It looks fabulous. It's great with this coat. And they're like, do you have no idea what a pink triangle is? I'm like, what the fuck is a pink triangle? No. So then they told me, so I'm like, well, no, I got to keep it on because if I take it off, it looks like I'm not in support of, like, I'm hoping people just thought I was like, you know, look at my pink triangle. So thought nothing of it. Awesome. But my family never asked. They never, not one person that I ever met. And I wore between the trench, I lived where it was cold, between the trench coat and the black silk jacket. I always had a jacket on because it's always fucking cold. And that pink triangle was on me. I got it in 81 or 82, and I wore it. My dad died in 94. So, and I forgot it was on. And we were in the, like, the less formal part of, you know, it's a New York funeral. So you go through all these different stages of, like, dinners and lunches and car rides and churches and wakes. And it's a whole fucking production. So we were at the casual part, right?
Hold
I didn't have
Jean.
A suit out anymore. And I had the jacket on. And somebody walks by and they're like, oh, that's a very interesting pin. And I'm like, really? Now you're going to ask
it's interesting.
Me about a pink triangle with my dad in a box back there? And I can't remember who it was. It was one of my mom's friends. My mom was like, you got to shut the fuck up at some point.
Oh my God.
And that was it. And for then the rest of the time, and just my mom, under her breath, and I always give her more cards. She was never sarcastic. She was just very flat.
Yeah.
You got to shut the fuck up at some point. And then her and I just stand there just laughing at each other like, okay. Like, really? You're going to mention the pin? And I forgot it was there. So I'm like, what? Oh, come on. We are not going to the Holocaust. It might be like, let's make this worse.
His hand was in a Triscuit maker. Come on, leave me alone.
That's right.
And they put the hand on top.
Oh my God, that's
they
great.
Put the hand on top when he's in the casket. Shut up.
Well, because you couldn't put the other one over it because it would have been sitting like this. It was just, oh my God. They were. I have to, and you've been with me when days go wrong, and the fact that there's always a stupid joke.
That's awesome.
Those couple days.
Fucking awesome.
But
did you guys read what she had written in her book?
Which part?
About death.
Well, there's a couple things out there. Go ahead.
When I die, and yes, Melissa, that day will come. And yes, Melissa, everything is in your name.
Yeah.
I want my funeral to be a huge showbiz affair with lights, cameras, action. I want craft services. I want paparazzi, and I want publicists making a scene. I want it to be Hollywood all the way. I don't want some rabbi rambling on. I want Meryl Streep crying in five different accents. I don't want a eulogy. I want Bobby Vinton to pick up my head and sing Mr. Lonely. I want to look gorgeous, better dead than I do alive. I want to be buried in a Valentino gown, and I want Harry Winston to make me a toe tag. And I want a wind machine so that even in the casket, my hair is blowing just like Beyonce's.
So Bobby Vinton was
too sick. Meryl Streep didn't. She wasn't invited. The Meryl Streep thing. I guess they weren't friends. I guess they didn't know each other. Not that they were unfriendly. I guess they didn't know each other. So that would have been
just
inappropriate.
A typical Meryl Streep.
I guess the Bobby Vinton thing. He did know her from the Borscht Belt tours and all the shitty shows in the Catskills.
Okay.
And he was too ill to come, and actually sent. If I'm not mistaken, he is still alive, and now we're going to work.
No, he is.
I think so, yeah.
But he was too ill, and he was on the list of things that they had actually tried to arrange, He was happy to have been asked, but he was too ill.
Sure.
But he is still alive. 1935. But they knew they actually knew each other from way back, and he was honored that she remembered him. Isn't that funny?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wow.
I wonder, though, because
You know his nickname was the Polak Prince.
No, I did not know that. I did not know that either.
And that we used to you would just drink shitty red wine and have the whole family.
Sure.
So here's a question in regards to this.
Polak Prince.
When
racial slurs were part of your God-given name.
It's called the 60s and 70s. Yeah. I'm more the 70s.
It's called this show.
Or that.
Yeah, very.
Now, here's a question.
Malarkey.
She requested.
Oh, they say the Polish prince. They're being nice here.
You request those things. These are the things that she wanted.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, down to lying in state with a fan blowing on her, hair blowing like Beyonce. None of that says cremation. Where did that come from? Was she just spouting out things, just being
part of their
stupid?
Family because Edgar was cremated too, so I think that was just part of their tradition.
Sure.
And remember, also, she said when she gets to heaven, if he's alive, she's gonna kill him.
Because he ruined
Melissa not having a father, her not having a husband, and so many other things.
Did you hear that? I was the things that I've learned about her since her death. The things that just don't come up, like unless you see her on the Biography Channel or something like this, and even then, sometimes they don't play those things, but. She was on Larry King Live.
That's actually the interview that I saw.
Yeah.
Where she's like, I'll kill him.
Well, what I saw was a little bit before that of explaining how Melissa found out that her dad.
Oh, it was awful.
That's horrible. They called the house.
Like, can you get a hold of your mother? God. We just found your dad dead.
Yeah. Oh, she's not home?
She's not home.
Well, tell
your mom your dad's dead.
Yeah.
What?
And she said, I just hate those people.
Yeah.
Like the fact that and hated him for
doing
ruining,
it. Yeah, right.
So when we get to sports or other stuff, that's a bad Philadelphia story. I got a better Philadelphia story.
Honey, we don't have much time.
I have sports and other stuff right now.
Do you want the theme?
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude, I didn't realize we were doing
that's a good call.
I didn't know we were doing that. Here we go.
I prepared. I didn't realize Jen Rivers would take 42 minutes.
Of course.
Oh. In sports
and other stuff. the Buffalo Bills are saved and will stay in Buffalo.
Oh.
And then some guy hit his wife in an elevator. Maybe you've seen a picture.
Right.
I didn't hear anything about it.
Really?
But, I think you should take the stairs.
But I thought I hit. Oh.
Yep, I got that right here.
Oh, yeah, there's the other stuff. So, two big cities decriminalized marijuana. So, we'll do sports.
And other stuff.
I'm going to go pee and you continue on. I'll listen.
So, and you won't care about this at all. But the Buffalo Bills were bought by the owners of the Sabres with John Bon Jovi as
a
very close runner up.
Okay.
Dead or alive?
Bon Jovi's alive.
No, because that's a song.
That's a song.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's very good.
It's also a very real
question for me because I'm always surprised by people dying. So, and I can't remember the family, but they own the Sabres, and they have just started a whole.
That's why I saw something about the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, okay. they did a whole redevelopment of the Buffalo Harbor, and they're really working on downtown Buffalo and revitalizing. And trying to make the stadium area, because Clayton is fascinated by Detroit and doesn't seem to understand about the Rust Belt and how many shitty cities there are with big, beautiful houses available with unmowed lawns.
Yeah, yes.
So as part of the rejuvenation of Buffalo, one of the things that they're hoping to bet on is the Bills and the Sabres. So whether or not they change the stadium from the way out in Shittsville Orchard Park or bring the Buffalo Bills into actually this downtown city of Buffalo becomes an issue. Like that
Do
would
you
be
see a, them with a covered stadium, like a dome kind of thing?
I don't, unless it would take Green Bay going, because they're from that. Chicago would have to go indoors. Green Bay would have to go indoors. I think those last few teams.
I thought the same thing about Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously, the fact that the Colts, meh, but the fact that the Vikes had done that in, like, the 80s? And that the Bears.
Yeah, but that was before it became like real football versus covered football.
True.
And the proud and there were there like four. There's like four proud stadiums left. There's the Green Bay Packers, the Bears, the Bills,
Chiefs.
But they don't have shitty weather, like shitty. Yeah, but not
in Kansas City. Of course they do.
Yeah, but not like Buffalo, Wisconsin.
Well, no.
And New York.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Meadowlands.
But the Meadowlands is gone.
Well,
they have
no,
a new,
but it's
but the
it's
new stadium
still open.
Is open. It's still open. Yeah. So the shitty weather. So and they again the purists. Do they want that? So whether or not they would, whether they'll stay or whether they'll move to downtown Buffalo. And if they move to downtown Buffalo, they may get a covered stadium. But I highly doubt it.
Sure.
Because those fans are very proud of.
I understand.
Their frozen asses.
I understand.
But it was a big deal because there was a lot of talk that. How will LA get a team? It looks like it probably will still be Jacksonville that loses because Florida already has three teams, four teams,
Miami
five
Dolphins,
teams, Tampa Bay,
Jacksonville Jaguars, Tampa Bay, and I think that's it.
Yeah, but so it goes back to Buffalo was the team that everyone thought would become the new LA team.
Yeah,
and I want to say Kansas City's on the chopping block too. There is. Bad pun, but so there's that going on. But that was a big
Arrowhead
news.
Stadium?
Yeah, big news for and I loved it because all the news things did it right and they called it Western New York. It's like I get very upset.
I know
when
you do.
When they call it upstate or say something stupid. But
Costa Rica is listening. Just in case you're
Costa Rica.
Join us in the chat room.
Nice.
Thank you. Continue.
Yo quiero ir a las islas.
No
de
idea
muertas.
What you're talking about.
I want to go to those goddamn islands where I think Jurassic Park really happened. And then for our last thing, and I guess we'll make it our thoughtful vulgarity or whatever you want to do, but in one of the most
obscene,
sickening, obscene, and now the news outlets have gone overboard on showing it. This whole thing with, and I think we talked about it earlier in the year.
We did
actually because of the Whoopi Goldberg thing. If we don't know what happened in that elevator, and if you raise your arms to a man, you should expect to be hit. Which I still have to agree with. If you hit somebody, expect to be hit back, regardless of your sex or their sex. And she's bigger than him. I mean, I will. If you've seen that,
I have.
She's kind of manly.
She's kind of manly.
I think it's a matter of when you go at somebody, just kind of like get away from me.
No,
that's a whole lot different.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. But when somebody pulls a lifeless body out of an elevator
and just drops them,
and kicks them around a little bit, that's the part of the video that I'm like, no. Like
which is, by the way, the part that we had already seen.
Yeah. So you knew that something bad went down in there. That he brought a lifeless body out of an elevator.
They weren't just character acting in there. And
no. So that's
out.
What I'm saying. Like, yes, you should. If you raise your hands to someone else, you should expect in any situation to be hit back. But on the other hand, if it's a loved one, you should not expect a death blow.
Right.
And to be dragged out, and then when the elevator starts to close on her head. And it's the security guard saying, no cops, right? That cradles her head to make sure that her head doesn't get... I mean, this is the scum of the earth. But they also could have stopped playing that yesterday at about noon.
Yeah. Had they needed to play it at all, maybe they play it like a one-time, two-time thing. That's it. The
like, end. We all agreed at a certain point at 9/11 that you didn't need to see the plane crashing into the building anymore.
Right.
And I wish they would stop showing it.
I agree.
Really
Yeah.
Well, you know what's
interesting? But they did that day. On that day, they stopped showing it. It wasn't until like 8 o'clock at night.
But think about it.
But
this
we're
way.
At day two. But the other thing is, we're raising huge awareness of like what does spousal abuse look like for those of you? If you go down those pages on ESPN and all those people saying that it was her fault.
Did you see the?
Then you're like, you need to watch that again and see whose fault it is.
Totally
fucked up.
They had a. It doesn't matter. It's a hashtag thing about why I stayed.
Brilliant. And that was actually going to be my thoughtful vulgarity today was like hashtag why would you stay?
Well, stand by. Let's get right to it. And we'll do it this way right now.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
This is just drunk people talking about domestic violence, so it's going to be in a very bad taste from beginning to end.
That's okay.
First thing we have to cover is the fucktards, hashtag fucktards, and I think I own that hashtag now. Go to anywhere and do hashtag fucktards, and my
Fox News is going to pop up. I have
the top four or five. Seriously, I did hashtag fucktards.
Is there a Pine Sol that's spilled?
Yeah, something.
Michael's cleaning something.
Okay.
So Fox and Friends, or Fox and Frenemies, or Fox and Fucktards.
Fox and Fucktards.
Just that.
Now, they're the dumbest fucking people on earth.
Fox and fucking idiots.
Now, this was released at 1 a.m. on Monday morning.
Okay.
So at the height of the storm.
Yeah.
Which was really 10 o'clock our time. Okay. It was released to East Coast because TMZ wanted to make sure that they were, again, smart people with news coverage. They wanted to make sure that every breaking 3 a.m. West Coast, 6 a.m. News Coast had it. They broke the story in the middle of the night to get everybody ready. Fox and Friends, Fox and Fucktards, they get to it. They have Steve Ducey and whatever the retard, and he's a retard. I re-fucking-tard. He's a retard. Retard, I'll say it again.
There's no pushback from Reiner.
Nope, he's one of the stupidest people.
Or Reiner, either way.
Yeah.
Kilmeade? I don't even know.
He's quite possibly the stupidest human alive. They have this conversation around a blonde who's on pussy cam because they put her in a short skirt with her pulled all the way up to her nuts. And they're like, well, what's the takeaway from, well, you know, this one went back to him and this one went back to, and this, the Rihanna went back to Chris Brown or Bobby Brown or whatever. Whatever.
Chris Brown.
So, and this blonde is just sitting there with the typical blonde on Fox face until they become Megyn Kelly. And he goes, well, the takeaway from this is take the stairs. The other one is like, well, you should remember that there's cameras on the elevator. Okay, so the shitstorm happens. And for the first time in human history, Fox News announces that they're going to make an apology for something they said wrong on air. That would be all they would
do. Take the stairs?
They would spend the first 12 hours of their day saying shit and the second 12 hour apologizing for it. Like Saturday Night Live says they do. The best part is everyone's calling Elizabeth Hasselbeck a cunt for being in the middle.
And apparently it's not her.
Oh.
But this is the picture.
But that's not from the day it was shown.
This is the picture. So I did think it was.
They just used the wrong picture.
Every single news source
used that picture.
Gives her shit and calls her a cunt for sitting there quietly. And she actually had to put out
show Clayton. That's who it was.
Her itinerary.
She had to put out a press release saying,
it's not me.
It's not me. I didn't sit there between them.
I have to tell you, I was shocked.
Do you know how bad your brand is when the bottled blonde in the middle has to put out something that says, I'm not the fembot.
I'm not that bottled blonde.
Right. That's when you know that you're, and I'm sure
and
her contract is about to be renegotiated because people don't know when she's not there.
Right.
And how stupid is your network when they permit all of this text to come out on the internet and be like,
with your picture.
That's a haplo.
Yeah.
Right, or that, or not realize, oh, that's not her.
So there's your fucktard of the week.
I wouldn't have any idea if she was on this shit or not, because I don't want that. I can't fucking handle it.
I watched the video, and I've been watching Elizabeth Hasselbeck for years.
I know you have.
I didn't know if it was her either.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Because she doesn't talk. She just sits there.
She covers her face.
She goes, uh-huh.
And
then she
goes
like this, and I'm like,
you can tell she's like,
you're supposed to be representing the woman's point of view. You're not supposed to be dumber than the retard to your left. And I'm actually smart enough to know which side he's on of her. Then the
stage
onion,
left or
the
not?
The onion gets to it.
Oh.
And the onion announces
a
zero tolerance policy on video taped domestic violence. Because as Molly, the woman inside my head, said,
malarkey.
Molly said, it's not that they didn't care that he beat her. They cared that we saw that he beat
her.
That's right.
That's where it became the issue.
Right.
So, and then the woman who does, she's on CNN. She's got the Friday sports show. Her name is Rachel, someone or other. She's
not Maddow.
No, but she's very good. She's got long hair. She's a very good sports reporter. I think it's called like Off the Field or On the Field or something with
Grass on the Field.
She's been all over the news. And she's the one that was saying today, like, stop playing that. Because now you are victimizing her. You're watching her watch. You're watching everyone that knows her and loves her watch her get beat down every 5 minutes.
And but she then, has to watch herself get beat down.
No, and that's and
she lived through it once. That's why Tina Turner never watched What's Love Got to Do with It. She's like, I lived through it. I'm done.
Pretty familiar.
But if they're honestly both, if they're honestly both drunk in that story, as has been reported, and a little tipsy, have you ever like heard a story told back to you that you're like, oh god damn it, I wish that didn't happen to me. Mm-hmm. But then the worst case scenario is not only does someone repeat it to you, but then they show you a video of you like being an asshole, and
you don't remember this, but here's what happened.
So then you're thinking, okay, we got in a fight in an elevator, and I fell down, and he hit me, but I don't remember it. So now you have to find out. Oh, he gave me a knockout punch.
Knockout, then hit a rail in the elevator, and
then
went down.
And then he kicked me.
And then drug me out, and then the thing that you threw me on my face.
Then threw me on your face.
Dropped
with
me
your
on my face.
Skirt up over your ass so that they have to blur it. And then they're putting asterisks over the word ass.
I thought it
he
was
worked
really
his blank off. I'm sorry, the time to blank stuff up is when you're hitting a woman, leaving a skirt overhead. The word ass is not the offensive part
you know
of
what,
this
though?
Story.
Come on, guys. He was very thoughtful. He did grab her shoe.
Oh, and her purse.
And her purse.
But just one shoe. But when the elevator starts
that's
to close
true,
on her head.
That's true.
So the interesting thing is
what a fuck.
Okay, and then the tone deaf, date rapey interview with John Harbaugh. In the
I
most
your,
tone
your
deaf interview. And I just felt like I was at ASU being date raped. No. That was so vulgar and so sickening to have his smiling, smug, I'm a good Christian face, and I'm praying for the best for both of them. No, I think you should go over, get off that podium and go drive and pick your friend up and get her out of that fucking house, you dumbass douche. But then the whole conversation, which is part of our thing, is we've all been in bad relationships. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting kind of close. Here. We've all been in these bad relationships. Sometimes they lead to violence. Sometimes they just lead to, which can be worse, emotional violence. Because emotional wounds don't heal. Yep. And now there's this hashtag, and we'll just go the whole way here. It's called Why I Stayed. Mm-hmm. And who was the pizza company that fucked it up?
DiGiorno
Pizza.
I have that article.
They didn't understand what
the
hashtag was.
Why I Stayed
for the pizza. Because it was...
They thought it was because you stayed home because of pizza?
Because it was Monday Night Football. So then their rep took it down. They're like, oh my God, no one did any research. Like, we weren't trying to be funny or
she's
ironic.
She's got copy. Copy for you.
Their apology was just, I'm a retard. Yeah. They basically...
I don't agree with this verbiage, but I will say that...
They
yeah.
thought it was you stayed...
And by the way, Drew, you're right.
They just a million apologies. Did not read what the hashtag was about before posting.
They just
DiGiorno Pizza.
Be...
Like, they had no words. They were
well, and I don't know that they knew what hashtags were. And I don't. So, like, I didn't, you know...
They knew what hashtags were. They just realized what it was for.
We welcome frozen pizza into the 21st century through the worst door possible.
Pizza is the equivalent of getting your
God.
Ass kicked.
They're, the guy that they had come on
slap
camera.
Slap me or give me a good your pie.
And you know, they had to go through the whole ranks of the office. Like, who is camera ready? None of you fuckers.
Yeah.
Who's standing outside the building? Find a homeless person. And he's like, we didn't know.
We fucked that up. Free pizza
so
for everybody.
The
here's
a million
the
apologies. We didn't know what the hashtag was about. And
I want to go buy DiGiorno pizza just because
was,
of that now.
He was so not camera ready, and he was seriously, he was worse than the homeless guy that Miley Cyrus broke up with. They have this absolutely shell-shocked human go, we did not know.
Up. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And you can tell that he's not related to anyone named DiGiorno. You know what I mean?
No.
It's practically
Polish,
Bobby Vinton.
He's the Polish prince.
It's probably the Polish prince. It was one of the fun, and you could tell
by
they
the
were
way,
never going to air
was
it
totally
again.
Mr. Lonely when he came on.
Raise your head.
And everyone, no one could even comment. They're like, "Oh, they're just dumb.
You're an
like,
idiot."
There was no follow up questions. All it was he came on camera and was like, "Oh,
oops,
no." It was an SNL skit, just waiting.
It is,
and it may
it
not
is.
Be done yet.
It was gift wrapped and handed to them.
I want to go buy DiGiorno pizza now just because they didn't know.
They didn't know. Stayed. Let's get on that one.
Yeah.
So anyway, everyone has stayed too long in a bad relationship. Mm-hmm. So here's your thoughtful vulgarity after a lot of shit. But why did you stay longer than you knew you should have? And let's go from date you knew this was a shit show to date you walked out the door.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was solely based, the person that I was with had kids, and I fell in love with those kids before it had got, you know, there were pieces of it that were like, oh, this is, she's weird. That's different.
she's weird. This isn't going to go well.
I'm not sure what's happening right now.
We didn't know.
That's a different personality. That's another one.
Why does she like frozen pizza so much?
Yeah. Is that delivery?
Is that DiGiorno? DiGiorno. We got the tone of this one right.
Malarkey.
Exactly.
But I had truly fallen in love with the kids, and
so you can imagine in a relationship where you have a child together. And
oh, absolutely. I can't imagine that, because the idea, we were together for, God, I don't even remember right now, 3 or 2 years, something, and 3 years, and I would hazard to say that two, if not 2.5 of them, was me being like, it'll be fine. And part of it was an arrogance, because I thought with all the fucking craziness that I could make it better. That, you know, I can show her how to love her, show, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that was a piece of it, but it was being in love with those kids. And then seeing how she treated those kids
made you want to stay more.
To protect.
Yeah.
Right. And it was.
And there's a lot of people that stay because they're the wall between.
Correct.
The abuser and the children. Because if they leave, that's the next line of defense. And people say that about younger mm-hmm. siblings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you hear that a lot. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, she would start and I would just kind of come in and I would, you know, pull a Joan, I guess, and make a joke and like, let's have a good time and try to get her over here so that, you know, especially with the little ones, because she had 4 and 2 were older. But that would be the main reason was because of them. There was a foolishness and a selfishness, certainly, that was a part of it. But
how are they now, or do you know?
I do know to a degree.
They, and by they I mean the children.
Yep. I do know to a degree. And one of the oldest, we're in, I'm going to say in air quotes, contact. I adore her, and she has been, she had gone through some difficult, really difficult, heavy duty stuff, and is 5 years, 5.5 years out of that now. So I'm really proud of her with that. And another one, I need to speak with Sean Nerdahl to see if he knows her, because she's a dancer. And beautiful, beautiful dancer. And then there are the two younger ones who are 17.
Was she a puppy?
Oh, she had the oldest who just turned 30, and she was 16 when she had
her. The oldest just turned 30. How old did the youngest just turn?
The youngest just turned 98. August 28th of 97.
Okay, so we're not talking about 7-year-olds today.
No.
Because I was like,
wow. No. This is what, no. When we were together, right. When we got together, they were, the two youngest were 2.5 and 4, just turned 4.
Okay.
So anyway, the 17, 18-year-old just had a baby, and
you're almost a grandmother.
I would be considered a grandmother. Oh. So, well, actually, the oldest already has a 6-year-old son. He's adorable.
Oh my God! How old is she?
Our grandparents in our midst.
40s.
I just admit.
Now I got a hashtag. I stayed for this conversation.
I just admit.
Anyway, but yeah.
If you midst at 30, you midst at 40, I don't know.
Seeing the pictures of the two younger ones, I'm not going to lie, it freaks me out a little bit because of the young ladies that they turned into that surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they've chosen, but it fucking startles me is really what it does, because they're far different than I think things might have been, but what do I know? I also would have been dead because being with her was just not. So then March 3rd of 2003, I was like, could you please leave by the time I get back from work tomorrow? Just not be here. Go. And she was.
Good for you.
And it was
that. Because there's just, there's.
It's a point.
There's that moment in everything in your life where you're like, I'm done with this.
Well,
everybody needs to be somewhere else
and because
by the time I'm somewhere else.
Right. And because of staying for those other people, because of Staying for Those Little People, I finally realized I wasn't any good for them because I was literally like allowing her to kill my soul.
You're band-aid on a broken arm.
Absolutely.
You're not helping anybody resolve any of this shit.
And that's
shit.
The whole point of, like, when you go from why I stayed to, and then and now the new hashtag, from what I understand, is and why I left. Yeah, and there's
why I didn't stay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But there's the two. Like, I stayed because I thought I could fix him, and I left because I realized he was just breaking me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Clayton McKee.
In that situation, I'm fortunate to have been
able... Drew has joined us, too, from near Lambeau Field.
That's
near Green Bay.
And I said he was absolutely correct. They're never going to cover that thing. Nor should they.
I was fortunate that, though it... The last relationship I was in, which is so many, like 12 years ago, and you and I understand who that is, mm-hmm. It soured, but I was able to just be like, and we're done. Mm-hmm. I live here, you live there, we're done, let's just end this. And it didn't end pretty.
I'm talking about a relationship that was just basically unhealthy.
I don't know that I had that. I guess you might say my first was because he and I were really both each other's really firsts and we hung on to everything, mm-hmm. but it wasn't ugly and horrible. It was just not the healthiest in the world.
Right. And that's sometimes what it is, and you just stay because this is what we're supposed to do.
But there were, right. Yeah. But there was no physical, there was no... nobody ran up unconscious out of an elevator.
No, but I don't think it always has to be about...
Oh,
no,
right. And that's what I said. Like sometimes it's just the emotional damage that you're doing without even knowing it yet.
But to that point, yeah. I will tell you that one of the things that he had said was that he was hanging on... Because, again, we're talking about a Latino family wherein the mother runs the entire ship and the father is... persecuted based on just because he's a man and he's dealt the deck of cards. He has to deal with supporting the family and doing this and doing X, Y, Z, yada, yada, yada. There was that. And to that point, he realized he was trying to basically be his mother and treat me in the same. And you don't treat that. Didn't work that way.
That doggone,
huh? Happen.
Yeah.
No. This white guy is not going to be the browbeaten Latino man that your father was. Though a great man, he bowed down. That's their culture. That's the way they work, and that's how that worked. Mm-hmm. And that all ended as it was. But the other one was the other relationship, which was just two strong-minded people that just butted heads a lot. And it's like, you gots to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to drive you to Florida because I agreed to do that.
And I'll stop before the ocean, I promise. Maybe.
And my flight has got to be within 10 hours of me driving you there. And that's what happened. It's like I drove him there across country, got on a plane, flew back, done. And that was been it. And it's been ultra, ultra minimal interaction since then. Even with the first relationship, the one in between that was a very interesting one because that was the relationship that I had with Andrew, who was deaf, and that was a very interesting way
dynamic,
to go.
Yeah, and it's just an interesting dynamic.
One of the most profound things that Harvey Fierstein ever said was in Torch Song Trilogy. When he was gone, he was gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was no
enough.
Lingering. Yeah.
Enough.
There was... Yeah.
Let's flip it to you.
I was in a tempestuous, if you will.
You have to Google that.
That's a good word. That's a real good word. I like that.
It burned hot and fast. I was actually dating his friend / roommate in whatever technical college they were going to at the time. I don't know. Walt was the one's name, and I think the other guy's, I guess the one that I ended up with was Jimmy or Johnny or Josie or something.
You paid a lot of attention.
But Walt was very like sensible in that technical school kind of like he was gonna like build something specific in a very like right brain sort of like technical way. And
turns out it was the iPhone. Sadly for Al.
Yeah. But he got this really 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 like unbelievably hot roommate, and we were just like drawn to each other, and like Walt was barely gay, and this
It was full gay.
Surfer, skateboarder guy was, like, just all sex. Like, there was just nothing else there. And we just, I mean, he dropped his bags down and we were in bed within seconds. Like, we were just could not. And I have, what his sexual preference was, I have no idea. Just that he needed to have sex when he got off that boat and we did it. And it
and
was,
you were the receiving dock.
And
it, yeah. Welcome to port.
His penis was not homeless, let me tell you. But, and this relationship was just so, like, it was just so, I don't know if the word is, like, and I've never been like that. Like, I've never been in that kind of a thing where it was just all physical.
Carnal.
Carnal. Good. That's exactly what it was. But it had no, we were either fucking or fighting. Like, there was just no other way.
Or making up from something else.
Right. Right. And the guy in the next room or on the next chair was the guy I was just with like 20 minutes ago, and he was like,
easy breezy,
what the fuck just happened? Like, I was just kind of coming out with you, and this guy literally, I told you at 10 p.m. that I was getting a new roommate because the guy that the school had assigned me to had moved, and you were in his bed by like the next morning.
Luck of the draw.
So
luck of the draw.
That relationship was just fucked up and over before it could even start. There was no why did I stay? Like, where did you go? Was the hashtag. But this other one, and then we just reached this point of like, I was like screaming at him one night, just fucking hit me. Like, we were at such a point of fighting that like, just fucking hit me. Like, that's the next step. Like, this is so...
That'll end it.
This is so... No, but it was... No. No.
Oh. Sometimes no. That won't.
It was not going to end it. It was like, this fight needs to go somewhere...
To the next level.
To the next level of, like, evil. And it was serious. It was just... it was a deal with Satan. And we didn't... He didn't actually, like... We did fight, and it was kind of physical, but no, like, actual punches were landed. But it was one of those things where I stuck around a little bit longer in an apartment where, like, my ex was in the next room, and this guy that, like, I loved, hated, like, couldn't stay away from but could not be around. And it was one of those things where I was like, I'm actually asking him to hit me at this point.
Why haven't you ever written a Lifetime movie?
It'd be a great one. But I have one picture of him in my living room, and this guy was just... he was unbelievably gorgeous, like surfer, skateboarder, some shit. I don't even know what the hell it was.
Some shit.
It was one of those things where like that relationship should have ended the next morning. And like, I just slept with your roommate. I got to go. Mm-hmm. And it went on for like a season of like, what is this? And then finally one day it was just like I reached that point in my mind because if I he could have reached it a long time ago, and I would have stayed. Stalker, CBS on Wednesdays.
Coming new this
year. I wrote that
and that's
down.
Not malarkey. But I would have stayed until one day I was like, this is just violence.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't even sex anymore. Like, now this is just like, we're just being violent together in like this fighting.
But there are so many people that really find that to be
a turn on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really afraid for myself that I started to associate that with sex.
Of course.
I started
or love. And I'm not saying because, you. I'm not saying
right,
you per
right,
se, but
right.
And that's what happens for some people.
I don't think I ever... I mean, I would have to consult with a diary or a therapist from the time, but I don't think I ever confused it with love. But
I don't have another time until love.
Boy, did I consider that, like, good sex. Mm-hmm. And it was wrong.
Sure.
And it was this close to being... truly violent. Like, we went from like way past playful, right. Like what they're saying, what'd you think happened in there, roughhousing and she lost consciousness. Mm-hmm. We went past that point.
Right.
And it was one of those things where I stayed because I was turned on,
right?
And
where
it was,
can this go?
Oh, it was just, it was wrong. It was an emotional and psychological and human low point in my life from the minute I cheated on my boyfriend to the minute I left. That was just an eclipse of the sun there,
sure,
Bonnie.
Sure. There you go. It's a total eclipse.
It was malarkey.
Yeah. Malarkey.
Well, did we rescue that from the dregs of wife abuse?
Yes. But I was glad to see that they got rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it...
We'll see where it goes from
and
here.
And now they have three on the bench. One's from the Cardinals, one's from the Panthers, one's from the 49ers. If all three are not suspended by this Sunday, then what's his face? Blondell.
Goodell.
Goodell, yeah. Not the lady from Greece, but the head of the NFL.
We'll call him Tardell.
To find out about Al and his sexual escapades from this week, tune in next Tuesday.
If I have sexual escapades this week, I'll tell you right
Kat
now.
Kat Carlson will be joining us next Tuesday right here in this seat, filling in for Katie June. It's Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. I'm Clayton McKee. Thanks for being with us. It is a Tuesday night. We will see you
next Tuesday.
I always word that wrong. And I
know.
Anyway,
I tried to save you.
Sorry. We will...
See you next Tuesday!
We got it that time. There we go. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America.